Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on feet?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get him.
How about you turn your mic on, Fred?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It wouldn't be 2009 if I didn't have at least one show where I...
One?
I haven't done it this year, have I?
That was an abrupt ending. What happened there?
Sorry.
The funny part is he was just saying that was just what the doctor ordered when Doc chimes in. How about you turn your mic on, Fred?
All right. Welcome to PFW
well
Progress.
Done,
just what Scripted. The doctor ordered, an apple to keep the big apple away. No, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
It's just stupid. One of the dumbest things you've ever said on the show.
But it was a
apple
big win.
Apple to keep the big
well,
apple.
You know how they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Well,
yeah.
In this case.
I'm still here.
I know.
So that's on the SATs.
Takes more than an apple.
An apple a day is to keeping the doctor away, as an apple is to the big apple.
We want to keep the big apple away. So what do we need? We need a Welker, is what we need, and that's what we got. That was the big factor. He wasn't there week two. He was here week 11. What is it? Week 11?
Yes.
And it was.
This is the worst.
What?
He's included all his things in this first minute. His mic wasn't on. A terrible joke. He burped. Doesn't know the information. This is Fred Kirsch. Just bottle this up. This is classic Kirsch.
It was
a great
game.
Up to me.
And a big win for the Patriots to bounce back after that Colts win. I think the defense, you know, other than one touchdown, really, you know, you can't blame the punt on them. They only gave up one touchdown to the Jets. The Jets' offense does stink, though. I mean, we all said that.
You should
Sanchez,
thank Mark Sanchez for playing for the Patriots.
Yeah, Sanchez
Sunday.
Is terrible, but their defense is legit. I really think so. I think the Jets' defense is legit. And to put up, you know, that many points, now you got to give some of that credit to Sanchez because he keeps setting the Patriots up in favorable field position. But, hey, they scored 31 points, so I'll take it. Big win. And now, of course, we go down to New Orleans to take on the Saints, which is
the battle
huge,
in the bayou.
Huge. A couple notes breaking this morning. You probably already heard it if you're on Twitter, if you follow the Patriots on Real Patriots, or if you've been on Patriots.com. The game against the Dolphins in Miami has been moved from a night game to a 1 o'clock in the afternoon Woo-hoo. Game, and we're psyched about that. I know a lot of our fans around the world aren't too happy about that because it went from a primetime game to now probably just a regional game. But we like it because helps us and keeps us healthy going into the playoffs. These night games really take their toll on us. So that has been flexed out from a night game to a day game. And that doesn't mean that another game down the road might be flexed into a night game, but you know, with the opponents that the Patriots have, it's looking less and less likely, I would say. So,
I agree. The one game that I think that we've all agreed that possibly, depending on how things unfold, maybe Jacksonville, if they continue to sniff around, you know, playoff contention. Right now, they're in the mix for a wild card at 6-4. So there's a possibility that that one could become a night game. Possibility. However slight that may be.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
I just want to get your math straight, though, because I know you're big on the literal. So the Northeast, I mean the Northeastern. I have Northeastern on the line because of the death.
Well,
I'm
sure,
you
do. We'll talk about that a little later.
Which, by the way, if you guys can save your jokes for this, because I'm not really upset about it, so it's not, you're not making fun of me. Anyway.
But it is something that you and Eric both have in common now.
I never played for Northeastern.
I know, but you follow
them. That's true. We both have that in common. I never played college football, and Eric didn't either. Against the Broncos, Fred, the Patriots only allowed 17 points because you don't count points that happen in overtime. But yet, points the defense scores, you count for the offense. So I just wanted to get your math straight there.
That's a good point.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point.
I'm just wondering. Because I agree with you. Your larger premise about the Jets' defense. I think the Jets' defense, despite numbers to the contrary, didn't really do a very bad job. I think they had some glaring errors. I thought they allowed Welker that 43-yard catch where they clearly blew a coverage there on a blitz. They were faking. They lined up like they were going to blitz. They dropped off, and then no one took Welker, and he got all alone for 43 yards. Clearly, that's not what they were trying to do. But 24 points, they forced, I think, 6 punts and a turnover. I think that's pretty good for the Jets. I think if you told them that everything was going to unfold the way it did before the game, I think they would have taken it, only their quarterback took away any chance they had of being competitive in that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I agree with you, Fred.
So, but, you know, good for the Patriots to take advantage. You know, when you get into those AFC East games, anything can happen, you know, especially, you know, things that you don't expect to happen. But I think most people figured that the Patriots' defense would handle the Jets' offense, which they did. And, you know, maybe the Jets' defense would give them a little trouble, which they did a little bit in the third quarter. For a while it was 24-14. The Jets were starting to climb back into it after falling behind early. But they just couldn't do anything. Sanchez forced the pass, you know, just couldn't get it done. Three interceptions for Lee Bodden and another one for Merriweather. So looking good going into the Saints game.
Although, 6 picks in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, although this is a huge game. I mean, the Saints are going to be ready. The Superdome's going to be rocking. You know, the Patriots haven't won a game in another team's stadium yet this year. So they want to get off that schneid, but we'll see. I don't know. It's a tough game. All right, so what do we want to talk about as far as the Jets game? Is it worth going back? I mean, is the game coming up such a big game that we're not so concerned about the Jets game, or is there bits and pieces that we need to talk about? I was a little bit interested at the comments that Rex Ryan had after the game. I guess he felt a little disrespected because Brady decided to throw one up to Moss at the end of the game, and he said that's why he called the timeout at the end to kind of get back. Do you have that? Why don't you play that, Doc?
I think it was 30 seconds left in the game. He went deep. Do you think that was maybe him trying to give a little Moss to Revis message or whatever it may be after all that's been going on back and forth?
I looked at that as an opportunity for us. Throw it up deep. Our guy's going to come down with it more than your guy is. If they want to throw it up to Revis, that's great. Now, if they would have thrown it to Welker again, I might have had a problem with it.
Do you think that was disrespectful at all?
Yes. Yep. But that's why I called the timeout, you know, at the end of the game, you know, give our team another chance. And it's surprising. You know, it was surprising. But, again, you know, things happen or whatever. You know, Belichick, I don't even know of how much he had to do with it, more than that might have been something that Brady or, you know, Moss wanted to do or something.
Well, you know, I'm always one to defend what the Patriots do. And this one, yeah, they were trying to tweak the Jets. There's no doubt that that's why they did that.
Just like Rex Ryan was trying to tweak the Patriots when Kevin O'Connell was a game captain again.
Right.
I like this stuff. I like a little tweaking. I got no problem with it.
It's just like when we talked about, I think Rex Ryan will be fun. You know, he might not be a good coach. I don't know. I mean, the jury is way out on whether or not he can coach or not. But he is fun, and I agree with Andy. I think that kind of stuff just adds a little bit of flavor to the game, and I think it's harmless stuff. I mean, I personally wouldn't have done it because I don't think it was in the best interest of our team. I mean, I don't think what do you have to gain by running Randy Moss down the field with 30 seconds left in a 17-point game? To me, nothing.
Well, I think
you
that
gain nothing from that.
I think
it's
Ryan,
bravado. It's
I think,
allowing
yeah.
him
yeah,
to
Yeah, I think that the chances of him tweaking a hamstring or something, you know, far outweigh you
sure.
know, the chance for me to get my bravado in.
I think
ultimately it backfired because even when the other team wasn't trying, you still couldn't beat the guy. When the other team had given up and quit, I think it was embarrassing.
I think Ryan was onto it when he said it's probably more Moss and Brady cooked that up than probably it coming from the sideline.
Maybe.
You might be right.
They cooked up the touchdown.
He might be
so.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
There's always a lot on my plate.
I've been amazed by that this year more than ever. The admission from Brady and how much they ad-lib and kind of make things up on their own, or he and Moss will do something, or it feels like maybe we just made more aware of it this year, and it's always happened, but it seems like it's coming up more often this year.
Yeah, it was an ad-lib on the 43-yard play to Welker, the mailbox play that he talked about in the postgame that Brady talked about. And I kind of thought that was similar a little bit to the play in Denver that Brady threw off his back foot. I think Welker similarly saw a change in the coverage and adjusted his route. Now, it may not have been the same exact situation, as Bill would say. I'm not saying it was the same, but it was similar.
Yeah. But that might be why, for some receivers, this is a tough offense, because Brady does like to ad-lib, and he relies on receivers being on that page.
Well, I just think it's so funny that it's so much early on when you're talking about it and guys coming here, it's so much – our offense has so many changes, and you have to be on the same page as a quarterback, and you have to know your reads to the T, and you can't be, you know, 6.5 yards if you're supposed to be 6 yards, and all that. It sounds so structured initially, and then you get into it, and once you're one of the guys, once you're Welker or Moss or whatever, there's the room for the ad-libbing and for them to be artists and for them to pick things up along the way and kind of go with it. So it's kind of funny, the dynamic there, once you're one of the chosen few, okay, now we're on the same page. We'll do our thing.
Right. Well, it's the creative license. It's like when you were back in school, you know, you had to do things a certain way. Some kids, they let do
right.
other things. Or it's like when you become a great pitcher in baseball, you know, sometimes the great pitchers get that called strike when the rookies, you know, you kind of have to hit the strike zone, you know?
Yeah. So the first half, obviously, you know, when Sanchez throws the pick to make it 7-0, the offense really, I thought, took that opportunity right there to seize control, and then they dominated the rest of the first quarter and throughout the second. The block punt at the end of the second quarter was, you know, certainly a sloppy play. Are you at all, Fred, concerned about this pattern that they've sort of developed, fallen into? They don't play as well in the second half in general. Now,
yeah.
And this is not, you know, listen, it was 7-7 on the scoreboard in the second half. Patriots had almost 300 yards of total offense in the first half and about 140 in the second half. So it wasn't like they had a bad series or two in the second half. They didn't play that well in the second half offensively.
And they haven't for the most part all year.
And they did that. Well, yeah. And they
because
did
you're
that
not going to know
even,
in a 59-0 game whether you were going to play poorly in the second half.
Right.
The game's over. Same thing with Tampa. The game's over. So you don't know if you're playing poorly.
Every one of their losses, they've had a lead.
Right.
Going
but
into
I'm
half
saying it's almost like any time they've had a chance to play poorly in the second half, they have.
And even when Sanchez continued to throw them the football and make life easier on them, they still didn't really capitalize. I mean, you look at defensively, they came out. The Jets moved the ball much better in the second half than they did in the first. They went 80 yards to open the second half, scored a touchdown. The Patriots, I think, got a first down or two and then had a punt. Then the Jets immediately came out of their own end, got to midfield, then stalled and punted, then forced a 3-and-out, got the ball back around midfield, and Sanchez threw a pick on the first play, if I'm not mistaken, first or second play. So the Jets were really knocking on the door of getting back in that game, and then Sanchez completely stripped it away. Are you concerned about that at all? Because I am concerned a little bit about it. I don't want to make too much out of it, but I just think, like Andy said, you know, all the games that they've had a chance to sort of you know, let the other team back
except
in
the
game.
Opener. The opener, they obviously.
The opener, they were losing at half.
No, I know, but they played better in the second half. So yeah. You can't say when given the opportunity in a competitive game.
No, when they've been winning at the half, they have not necessarily built on that in the second half. I thought we saw it a little bit to the Miami game, and we saw it a little bit in this Jets game. We saw it to a large extent in the games that they lost. Like Fred pointed out, all of their losses, they were leading at half. I'm a little concerned about that trend.
I think you have to be. I think, letting teams back in games is not the mark
not
of a good,
good
defense.
Not
it's
good.
Not the mark of a good defense.
Well, I'm
but
not sure.
But I think
just
it's offense, too.
The offense doesn't move always like it has in the first half.
They certainly
like
haven't
they
scored
stagnate.
In the second half the way they have in the first.
That's true.
So it's a team-wide issue. It's not just the defense. We can't just pile on here. It's both sides of the ball.
I mean, it could be, and, again, we'll talk about Lawrence Maroney a little bit. I thought he had a decent game. But it could be the lack of a consistent and dependable running game.
Well, I sometimes think it is that because I think they try to change what they're doing, try to get out to a lead with the passing game, do things early, and then do try to reel it in, and I'm not sure they're always able to reel it in. It's like, well, you just got to, if you're going to play offense, you got to keep your foot on the pedal.
Right.
And just go spread it
right.
out and chuck it.
Do you think they've maybe been a little too conservative, as some of our
yes.
emailers have said?
Yes. Yes. And I think had Sammy Morris been healthier this year, maybe it would
have
played out differently because the running back that Fred likes isn't capable of doing it.
Yeah, I don't think they've been overly conservative in the second half, and I think that's part of their problem.
I don't remember saying, wow, they're running the ball too much.
Well,
I don't remember saying
yet, but I'm just saying not the same offense. I think they lose a little bit of their aggression.
Well, maybe they're overthinking it. Maybe they're not just doing what they did in the first half, and maybe they're sort of second-guessing themselves and thinking what adjustments the defense might be making and kind of overthinking it.
Well, that's the obvious one, is the adjustments. They were always praised for adjustments. Now everybody wants to say Belichick's spread too thin. He doesn't have enough guys on the staff that really, have a great history here and experience level. Maybe he's spread too thin, and they're not able to make the same kinds of decisions, changes, adjustments, tweaks at halftime.
Now, could any of it be offensive line play? I mean, last week, Neal got banged. I mean, in the Colts game, Neal got banged up and guys were banged up. This week, for the most part, they were all in there, but they weren't at 100%.
But why first half, second half?
Right. This week, the line was banged up. I think that you can certainly make an argument for that because you had Light and Neal out. You had certainly a less than 100% Vollmer and a less than 100% Nick Kazier. So I think that there's a, and Kazier got hurt on the last play of the first half, or the second to last play of the first half. There's an argument to be made. But before that, everybody's been in agreement that Vollmer has been great, and people are wondering whether or not he's going to keep his job over Light, and everything else has been the same. So I'm not necessarily.
Yeah, but in the second half
that.
Against the Colts, the right side was collapsing.
Stephen Neal got hurt in the fourth quarter.
I'm just saying, whatever. It doesn't have to be because of injuries. I'm just saying offensive line play in general.
So they just stopped playing in the second half?
No, but you made it sound like you were talking about in terms of injury.
Well,
if you're saying bad play, then I don't know.
It could be line. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's.
But why? I mean, why are they bad in the second half?
Well, maybe in the second half when they try to run, they're not able to open the holes. I don't know. I'm just throwing all this out there. You got inconsistency in play calling. That could be a reason. What are they choosing to do in the second half, and is it the right philosophy?
Lack of experience on the coaching staff.
You got possible O-line play.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
I think you can rule out Brady. I think you can rule out, Welker and Moss.
Well, why are you ruling out Brady?
Because I don't think that I can't say that the reason why they're being less productive in the second half is because of Tom Brady.
Why?
Why do you say it is because of the offensive line?
Like in Denver? He missed passes in the second half of that game.
Okay, Denver, he doesn't play well in Denver. Even when they win.
Or Miami.
Even when they win, he doesn't play that well.
And I didn't mean to suggest that I am putting it on Brady, but I'm just, you make these blanket statements. I know it's not this.
Could be the O-line. It's not Brady.
He was awful.
Everyone sucks but me.
He was awful against the Jets in the second half, and he was awful in Denver in the second half. I had to put at least some of that on him.
Fred just choked on a pickle.
Excuse me?
Pickles, you heard me.
Gagged
on a pickle.
Injuries are becoming, up front, injuries are becoming a little bit of an issue here. Neal went out in that what was that? It must have been late third quarter in Indy, I think, when Maroney fumbled. So that was late in the third quarter. He hasn't been back since. Now you're dealing with Dan Connolly in and out, you know, of that spot. The tackle situation was dire at the end of the first half. I'm sure they didn't want to use Sebastian Vollmer in the second half of that game. He was announced as his return being questionable with a head injury.
Right. Usually they don't take chances with that.
You can't imagine they wanted him to go back in the game. But the situation dictated it. But the strange thing about that was Kazier continued to play.
Right.
So I don't necessarily, you know, Lavore had played in Vollmer's place. If I thought Lavore was going to then go to right tackle to play for Kazier.
But Kazier, I mean, it might have been just one of those things.
It could have been just
why
he
put Vollmer
in the shin and you feel like your shin's broken and then a couple minutes later.
Well, you saw the way Brady fell into
it. No, I know, but I'm just saying, I've had plenty of things in my life that I thought were severe injuries for about 30 seconds and then you just like, it comes back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It hurts like hell for 30 seconds.
You walk it off.
Right.
See, I mean, regardless of that,
he wasn't really hurt.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him out this week, but that's irrelevant. The thing I was talking about more was Vollmer. If Kazier was going to play, I thought it was strange that they put Vollmer back in with a head injury. I thought they would just stick with Lavore.
Yeah.
And I thought Lavore was going to go to the right side, and they needed Vollmer to come back in because you know they weren't really sure he was okay, but they were playing it safe.
Right.
You know, and I'm not suggesting they put him in the game with a concussion before anybody.
Yeah, but do we know when they say head? Maybe he was poked in the eye or something. Do we know anything about that?
I mean, that's blatantly being deceitful. I mean,
well, it's the same area, eye, head.
It's part of the head.
The eye is not your head. The eye is your eye. An eye is an
your head is everything above your neck.
But you have an eye injury.
Fred's is empty.
What?
You have an eye injury.
Yeah.
It's just like your elbow is part of your arm, but they say it's an elbow injury, not an arm injury.
I could see them saying head.
I could too.
Yeah.
I think that would
tongue,
be the exact
mouth, jaw.
I think that would be the exact opposite of what they would do if it had something to do with something above the neck. They would say eye or mouth before they would say head as a nebulous term. Now, I don't think you ever want to say someone has a head injury that you're planning on playing in the game.
Okay, Dr. Perillo.
I'm going by the commissioner right now. The commissioner for some reason.
Okay, I agree with you.
No, we should talk about this. All the right. Commissioner
Fred, he's
for some reason.
Northeastern, don't push his buttons.
The commissioner for some reason thinks the other team's players should be incumbent on them to report head injuries. I mean, that's one of the most laughable things that I've seen in this 2009 season. Other players should police them. That's just absurd. Can you imagine, like, if you're Houston last night, you know what I thought, Andy, you know what I was watching the highlights of Chris Johnson? If I was the Texans, I would have gone over to someone and said, you know what, Chris Johnson, he's not all there. He looks a little loopy. I think he's got a concussion. I think he should come out of this game. How ridiculous is that? Players need to police themselves.
You got to have specialists on the sideline. That's the only way to do it, you know?
I just don't think there are specialists.
No, it's a very hard...
It's but why it's not something you can just diagnose.
Does it seem like concussion is like the injury of the season? It seems like there's more of them than usual. Or
because
it,
everybody's because walking on ice.
Them.
Right.
Yes.
Everybody is worried
to
not report it. And
yeah.
It's the end story. It's very much the cool thing right now is
cool.
To talk about concussions, to
I don't
be overly...
Cool.
No, it is. Media-wise, it's the in thing. I mean, it is the fashion statement of the year, concussions.
Yeah.
Just a quick aside, I have a conspiracy theory. The Titans running that option you just referenced, Paul, and Chris Johnson running all over for against Houston. Any chance? We thought Jeff Fisher hated Vince Young, right? Wanted no way to play him. Why did we always hear you couldn't run the option in the National Football League?
Defenses are too fast.
And you get your quarterback killed. Any chance he's running that so at some point he gets hurt and he can get Kerry Collins back out there?
At this point, he's won four in a row.
No
but he knows he's not going to the playoffs.
I mean, I know they don't have an impressive win in the bunch, but...
He knows he's not going... I think he's trying to get him hurt. Jeff Fisher trying to get him hurt.
Oh, boy. Plug. This is from Doc.
What are things to plug for 500?
Eric's not on the show today.
Make sure you send your emails in for Fantasy Lowdown today. Or early tomorrow, because the show will be recorded tomorrow and will air at 2 o'clock.
It's usually tomorrow?
On Wednesday.
Usually it's Wednesday at 4. But tomorrow it's going
usually
to be
it's
at 2.
Usually it's Thursday at 4.
What?
I didn't know they celebrated.
Usually it's Thursday at 4.
Right, there's no shop talk tomorrow. So Fantasy Lowdown will be tomorrow at 2.
Or today.
What?
Nothing.
Go ahead. Tomorrow.
Go ahead.
It's going to be recorded.
Tomorrow morning, yes.
And shown at, played at 2 shown? O'clock. So get your emails
Shop
in,
talk
in
with
today
Sal.
Or early tomorrow morning and to have them on the Lowdown show at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Last time you'll ever be asked to read something.
Also,
that's what you get for having him make your plugs.
So much for the live reads.
Also, stick around for Patriots Playbook at 2 o'clock today. This is a special holiday edition with Russell Baxter.
Is that what it says?
He's usually on Thursdays, but since it's a holiday Thursday and there's no show, he's going to be on today.
So what's going to be on Thursday?
Replay.
Of this?
Thanksgiving.
Hope not.
We don't have to run anything.
Yeah, this will be replay.
And then, of course, tomorrow, since we're off on Thursday, we'll be doing our picks on the Wednesday show at 1:30.
Plus, there's games that start at noon on Thursday we have to pick. So we have to pick them on Wednesday.
Right.
Bad
Suck
games.
It.
But
so that's that.
What exactly was that?
All the news. We talked about Rex Ryan. We talked about the Patriots flexing out of the Miami game.
We talked about, no, we didn't, but Terrence Nunn realizing there was a glass ceiling here he was never going to surpass, so moved on to Tampa.
He went to Tampa. Wow.
Good call for him. He got passed over enough times where you got to say, okay, somebody else wants
clearly
me. I'm not sticking
around. Clearly they had no intentions of using him here.
He was one of those guys
Don't
that
know
filled
why.
Out a practice squad. As I talked about with Bill last week, some guys are next in line for the roster.
So
some just
there's
practice.
No compensation when a guy off your practice squad gets signed to another
No.
team. No. So could the Patriots have Matt? Do they have a time frame where somebody makes an offer and say, okay, well, we'll activate him instead? Do you have that option?
Yeah, you could sign him to the roster.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's a free agent. A practice squatter is a free agent.
No, but once you hear that Tampa Bay is offering him something, can you –
If he was willing to say, they're offering me, you want to help me out here?
Yeah, I think it would be a timing
thing. It's just a free agency. He's an unsigned player.
I think the only way the Patriots could block that is if Nunn went to them and said, listen, Tampa's offering me a spot on the roster.
Well, you
should
have to.
Should I stay?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really block it. If he signs with the Bucs,
he signs,
he's a Buc.
It's up to the
player if he wants to stay to try to
It's not like restricted free agency.
Exactly. You don't have a right to match. No, I mean, that's an interesting question. I'm sure that not every, I mean, I that's the way I understand
they
it.
They are
anyway.
Free agents. They just happen to practice with you.
Okay. All right. Bill Belichick yesterday, I have to mention this, our own Eric Scalavino at yesterday's press conference asked the question of the year. Anyway, as far as Bill Belichick was concerned, it was the question of the year. He took 16 minutes to answer it. And
where I read it was 9, but...
Well, you have to add the one after that for the running backs.
Yeah, they added 5 and 4.
You know, and for some reason, you know, Bill really wanted to get a lot of things off his chest as far as the detail that goes into figuring out what plays to plan for an upcoming opponent based on available personnel during the week, projected available personnel on Sunday. You know, it is involved. You know, there's so many variables. You only have a finite number of guys, and, you know, for each position you have a finite number of guys. So do you practice a guy at a position he may not play because the guy's hurt, you think he's going to be in? You know, do you run a play that a guy's not going to be able to practice? It was pretty involved, but it was very interesting. And so Eric, once again, shines on Monday.
What, are you kidding me?
So, and he had a nice Argyle sweater.
Did he really?
V-neck, yeah.
What was the interesting part of the answer that you thought?
The interesting part was how willing and, you know, Belichick was to go into that length about it. That's what I thought was interesting, that he really wanted to, you know, make sure the media knew that this is a big part of the week-to-week game planning, and this is a big part of the assistant coaches' jobs. This is, you know, he really relies on them to help him with that.
I never said that.
That's what I thought was interesting. You know, the length at which he went to answer the question. Paul's not agreeing. I can tell Paul is like...
I didn't say a word.
You're making a big deal out of nothing.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but I didn't say it. I didn't say a word.
I can tell by the look on your face.
I actually thought it was interesting that he followed up, and Andy and I were talking about this, about was that the situation with running back? And Bill was like, well, no.
But defensive back.
That's the part that I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the running backs, to me... The healthy ones are active. I don't really think
you know, whatever. I guess I didn't find it. You're right. I didn't find it anywhere near as revealing as you did.
But it's, you know, on special teams.
I mean, the guys that are hurt require a little extra time during the course of the week to determine the game plan because you don't know if you're going to have those guys or not.
Well, you're installing certain plays against the team. So
right. So if you're not going to have a guy or you don't know if you're going to have a guy, that might affect things.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty
especially like special
easy
teams,
to infer.
One guy can affect like 4 or 5 different teams. You know, do you just insert somebody in there and say you're going to replace Aiken on all these teams, or do you have 3 different guys replace him on the different teams?
There's backups on all teams.
Yeah, but
I'm not trying to minimize it, but I'm just saying that's how it works.
I
forgot. You guys know more about coaching than Belichick. I forgot.
No,
every football team I've ever been on has a backup at every position. You go through special teams, and there's a depth chart. You know, the wing on the punt team, the second guy is X.
Okay, so
the
if you're installing a new play and the backup is replacing a guy that's kind of dinged up.
And the backup can't do what the starter can do, you can't do the play.
Right.
But and you think maybe the starter will be in there, so let's install this play that would be good for the starter. Do you do it thinking, you know, and having the backup practice it?
You weigh it. That's why you're a coach.
Not being sure that the starter will be able to do it.
Is it a play that I get a 1% advantage out of, or is it a game-changing?
Another variable.
I'm giving the ball to Randy Moss.
Another variable you have to think about.
If it's a play I'm drawing up for Sam Aiken, I bench it. If it's a play I'm drawing up for Moss that I think when I go to it, this could be 7, then I still do it.
Yeah, so those are all things you have to think about.
Right.
You know?
Don't get me wrong. I think coaching in the National Football League
is
one of the most difficult jobs on the planet.
Term
Edwards said it last week, and I think it's grossly overrated. You have so much more of a better life when you're not coaching in the National Football League as a head coach than you do when you're doing it, but guys can't get enough of it. It's an addiction.
So ridiculous.
They hate it, but they want it at the same time.
There are so many minor little details. Freddie, let's go back to a story that Will McDonough, the late, great Will McDonough, talked to us about way back when at the old Foxborough Stadium. Do you remember when he was telling the story about golfing with Belichick that time?
Oh, yeah, sure.
In the offseason?
Yeah.
And they're just standing there on a tee box. McDonough's telling us this story, and out of nowhere, Bill is just standing.
Now,
there.
This is the off season.
In the middle of the off season, they're golfing. Will McDonough is in the same foursome as Bill Belichick, and Bill and this was before he was even the Patriots coach.
He was the Cleveland coach.
Cleveland's coach, and Bill just out of nowhere starts mumbling and swearing to himself.
Steps away from the ball.
This is as he's going to approach his drive. And Will is like, what the hell is going on? What's the matter? And he's like, you never know what these guys are doing. Never know what trouble these guys are getting into.
You can say everything you want, but once they leave, you don't have any control over what they're doing.
Running from somebody in the parking lot of their house.
And McDonough's like, Bill.
Perfect example.
You got to calm down. You can't worry about that. You're going to go crazy.
But that's just an example.
You think he's calmed down? No.
That's an example of it's ridiculously hard, I think, to be a head coach in the National Football League. You have so many things to worry about, so many variables, the least of which are your X's and O's. It's so many other detail, such a detail-oriented
overrated.
Business.
I think the X's and O's is highly overrated, and all the other stuff is highly underrated. I think doing that is the most important thing. I really do.
The minute
everything.
Management.
The management of that. Not deciding, you know, how much we're going to blitz this week against that. But the other stuff, the injuries, knowing what to practice. You only have so much practice time. Is your team banged up? Is your team not banged up? Is the young guy? Is the old guy? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be? There's 1,000 of those that come up literally daily.
And I think that's what Bill wanted to stress, you know. And he even said, you know, it's not something you can always talk about with the media.
Which is why I think the other stuff is so great, because a lot of that is percentages and scouting and and tendencies, and that's numerical. I think if you have staff,
once you do your research,
no number that tells him that his tackles are hurt, so on Thursday he should practice like this, and on Friday maybe he should do red zone a day earlier. There's no numbers that tell him that.
See, everybody thinks that's the hard part. To me, it's all about you do your research, and you know, hey, it's 3rd and 3. They're going to do this 78% of the time, so we're going to counter with this, and the percentages are in our favor that it works. You know what I'm saying? That's just flat out numbers. That's trends and tendencies that you know from doing your job.
Speaking of practicing, Roger Goodell came out either yesterday or said that off-season training has gotten out of control. And I guess what he means by that is just it's just too much, you know, of these OTAs that are, you know, optional, but not really.
The players certainly would adhere to that.
Well, so here's my thinking. He's saying that. Here's another thing that maybe they can go to the bargaining table and give up, quote unquote, to the players' union, where really, what are you really giving up?
You're not giving anything up as long as all 32 teams give it up.
Exactly. But if they change the rules where you can only have less OTAs or, you know, that might be something where it's a concession on the, you know, the league part, you know, without actually giving up money.
Bill won't like that.
Well, I don't think Bill minds.
Where are you supposed to develop a young quarterback? You don't have Europe. No. You don't have this. Look, you don't have
Bill.
That's going to be his rant.
I think
his whole thing is Bill, where do you develop young players?
Bill has always said, as long
the genius is at the league?
No, as long as it's equal, as long as...
I disagree. He will not like it. Because I don't... He's going to want to know where he develops his young guys. You're taking away preseason games. You took away the developmental... Where am I going to develop my young quarterback?
I know, but everyone's in the same boat, Andy.
But you're still... Okay, so his theory is, we'll all be in the same boat when we have name X crappy quarterback who's starting in the league.
Right, but I think his... Bill has always said about
good players.
Rules, as long as they're fair and... able to be enforced and equal for everyone. His job isn't to make rules. It's just to follow them.
It'd be interesting.
See, I take his tone differently than you do when he says that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Those are the rules. We play by them. I think he's saying, they're stupid, but I got to follow the rules.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if they do something like that, Freddie, if they enforce it in terms of you are not allowed to do this.
That's what I think they're going to do.
Or if they say, no more can you have these voluntary camps. But... You know, if 25 of your players just happen to be working out at the facility.
Captain's practices in high
school. Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference there.
Yeah, but the big difference there in high school, the captains want to do it, you know.
Not
here,
always.
There's a union.
There's plenty of captain's practices that are observed by coaches.
I know, but there'll be union pressure here not to do it.
No,
not to have the guys.
I understand that, and that's where I think you can get some inequity because I think some teams will adhere to it.
Yeah.
And others won't. Like, for example, to use Andy's example. Of the young players, the young quarterback, if you're trying to let's take this to last season, okay? You're going to try to tell me if Kevin O'Connell is sitting there after his rookie season and he's not thinking to himself, I need to be in that weight room every day. And when I'm there, maybe I get a chance to go out and I get to throw passes with whoever the wide receivers that happen to be around are.
Right.
And then you take it a step further and Belichick has something set up with Bill O'Brien or whoever. Now suddenly I'm on the field four times a week for 3 weeks. Well, it's not an official passing camp, but it might as well be.
Well, if you're going to try to get rid of it, you have to try to get rid
of it. That's what I'm saying.
You have to do like NCAA. You have 22 hours a week with a player, which I think is stupid.
But how do you police it?
If I'm an NFL owner, you're telling me that I can't have my players all the time. I'm paying him X millions of dollars, and my coach doesn't get the ability to develop him?
That's my point.
I think that's stupid.
I think it's a hard thing to police, and...
It's a full-time job.
You have to come down with an iron fist.
But that's, you know, if the owners are going to have that attitude, then it is more of a concession. And the it is more of a concession than even I think it is. And
maybe, I think it's a big concession.
Maybe it would be a good bargaining chip.
I'm with Bill. I think at some point you have to have time to develop everybody. There's not enough time always to develop X, Y, and Z when you have Brady and Moss working.
How about this? You lengthen when training camp can start, but you take away some of these OTAs.
No, I can't wait.
Because there is a rule about when training camp can start. So you lengthen that by maybe a week or two.
But again, you get back for just young players?
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Because
maybe just
because if you lengthen camp for all players, I'm back to the same problem. I'm going to use my time to develop Brady to make sure we win games.
Well, that's what they do
but
now.
If you
the
give
young
me
players
time,
have to report before everybody else.
Yeah,
maybe you increase
like
the number of guys you can have in camp so you can actually run two practices and then merge them after those 2 weeks. Maybe you can have maybe you can have a first 2 weeks where you can have 100 guys. Then you have to cut it to 80 after the 2 weeks and go into a regular camp mode like you have now.
I wonder if they're also going to do in terms of maybe concessions, Freddie, to stick with your labor negotiations, just an increase of the rosters, the active roster on game days.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard them talking this morning on the radio, and it was pretty apparent if you were watching any of the games on Sunday, there was one major injury after another. This was like Black Sunday. In the NFL, there were more ACL. I mean, the poor guy for Liddell Betts got the dreaded PCL. There were a lot of major injuries on Sunday. At what point are you dealing with all eight of your guys that are inactive, like the way the Patriots have been for the better part of the first 10 games? The eight inactives are all ineligible. They're all hurt.
Oh, my arm! You know? It's broken!
So I wonder if maybe they get to a situation where they either put together some sort of short-term injury list where you don't have to shelve a guy for the whole season if he's put on IR.
Right.
Or you just allow 53 players to suit up on game day.
Yeah.
Or more than 45 anyway. I don't know. That might be another concession that the owners can make that might not necessarily cost them that much more money because they're paying the guys anyway.
Right.
Right?
Well, but you're not paying them.
Yeah, you would have to pay more guys more money because you put a guy in IR.
But not that much. What?
You put a guy in IR, you're still paying him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's not going to cost you that much more money.
But what I'm saying is if you put a guy in a temporary IR, you know, now you're paying him and you're allowed to bring somebody else in.
Yeah, but that's peanuts.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. It's not that much more money.
It could be.
If you're bringing in a guy for 3 weeks, you're paying him three game checks, and then that guy comes off of the injured list and resumes his role.
I'm more for that than I am getting rid of off-season training.
Yeah, but then...
Well, I think off-season training has gotten out of hand.
But here's the thing, Paul. If you're bringing him for 4 weeks, now it's an accrued season, and now he's getting toward his...
Six, I think, isn't it?
Is it six? I thought it was four games as an accrued season.
I think it's six.
Whatever it is. I mean, if you get to that point where now you're able to get accrued seasons being a temp worker...
Hey, you know
now,
what, though?
Now the vested players would increase, and... Again, it's a concession by the owners.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? They have to make some.
Right. No, they do.
I mean, they made what they thought was a wise deal the last time around and increased that to 60%, you know, the gross revenues.
Right, the shared revenue.
And then they aired.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to get it back down a little bit. Well, you got to give something back.
Yep.
You know, and this 18-game season is not going to work. Clearly, all this is a war of attrition now. It's whoever, you know, is in the best shape when you hit Thanksgiving and beyond. I mean, look at Charlie Batch.
I know.
Did you see Charlie Batch could already play two plays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other guy with a head injury, he's going to play.
You know, the rule, you know, they'll say,
they don't have a backup now. Because he looked really good when they were doing the test. Right.
But, you know, and they'll say, well, those kind of injuries can happen in week one as easily as week 11. But the fact is, the more you play, the odds of getting hurt increase.
I agree with you. That's a foolish argument. Yeah. Of course, you could have a million injuries in week one. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a better chance to have more injuries if there's a week 18.
The more you drive, the more chance you have getting in a car accident, no matter how good a driver you are. All right, I have to take a break, and we'll be back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred. Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, Barry, Ikong, or Chris Gokong, as we call him, is at it again.
Neither of those is right.
Inseong.
Yes, not Ikong.
He's at it again. He says that he just wants to invite all the Patriots fans that will be in New Orleans to the tailgate party that will take place on the roof of the Heal, H-E-A-L, parking garage on LaSalle Street between Perdido and Gravier, which is just a couple of blocks away from the Superdome. Bring along your own food and drink and meet up with other Patriots fans from across the country. As usual, join the Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group for more information for this or any other road game.
Or go to F Corp.
Right. But so Barry and Siang.
Isn't it Corp?
So that is the Heal parking garage on the corner of LaSalle Street. That's between Perdido and Gravier.
All right.
So, but go to the Yahoo tailgate group.
Wow, even you are now pointing them to Yahoo.
Well, I just want to make sure people get it right. So he's at it again. He's got another group.
F-Core doesn't work.
Gathering.
What?
What do you mean it doesn't work?
I don't know. Even you've abandoned it now.
It's an ass.
I don't even know what it is.
So.
Wow, Freddie.
So we've got this game coming up. I just get.
It's going to be a breeze.
I just get the feeling that people are done with the Jets. We're happy to have beaten them. And we have no interest in talking about that game anymore. Am I right in that feeling? Or
I don't know. Well, why don't we see what the emails are saying?
A lot of emails. What do you think, Paul? How about we read a lot of emails?
I'm fine if you want to just move on.
Freddie, what do you think about Welker, just the ridiculous production? I mean, he's had 100 catches 2 years in a row. So
that was a huge game.
But he's on pace
game.
For 139 or 8.
Well,
nice
he missed
little
two
player.
It's interesting.
He would have broke the NFL record.
I know. In the Week 2 game. They threw to a guy who had never played receiver before.
612
16 times.
Times.
So, obviously, that was there.
Well,
it's just that
it was the same
Edelman
thing.
Wasn't
yeah,
there.
If you're going to take away Moss, we're going to have to go elsewhere.
Right.
Unfortunately, elsewhere is Edelman this time.
Yeah, that's
why I made the comment early, and Andy and I talked about this upstairs. I'm not so sure, with the exception of the blown coverage for the 43-yard catch that cost them a touchdown. They didn't score in the play, but they scored immediately after. I'm not sure the Jets would have done it any differently. I think they did it the same way in the first game. The only difference I saw was it seemed to me that they were reluctant to do those all-out overload blitzes until the second half.
Yeah.
Andy and I were like, where are all the,
but
are
not
all
even,
the pressures?
Not even the blitzes, not even showing it.
No,
a lot of times they do that and they bail out of it and they just rush four.
That was the only thing
I
saw different this game than the first game. Otherwise, they did a good job on Moss, as they did in the first game, and they allowed the slot guy to sort of run free and said, go ahead and rack up the yards, but we don't think you're going to score that much. And you're right. The difference between 9 and 24 was Welker.
Yep.
You know, they were able to score points this week because Welker was that good. Whereas I don't think Edelman would have made all the catches because West had to make some tough catches
right
over the middle.
Well, there's one that's way behind him. Back, I don't know how he caught
back shoulder catches. The one on the sideline was sick.
Yeah.
And he took big pops.
Bang. I'll tell you, some of the – I think Edelman would have lost the ball on a couple of the hits that Welker took.
Or just stayed down.
And
Welker, for whatever you think of him, is as durable as they come. He takes more big hits and gets
good
up.
A little player, you know. Yeah.
He's a nice little player.
He is.
Did you listen to Brady talk about him?
Watch Pocket Welker jockey.
Did you listen to Brady talk about him? When you're playing the lesser corners on the inside and you're willing to do it. I truly believe, and this is not a shot at Welker, if you're a decent athlete, have the balls and durability to go over the middle, you can play slot corner in this league.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's a lot of guys that, A, can take the hit and get up, or, B, are willing to.
Well, I was listening.
I think it's an effort position.
I was listening to that DA on 98.5 last night. I think he's a very adequate nighttime host, but
very adequate.
He's an adequacy.
You really pulled back.
But
on him,
he was saying his thing is that now, you know, with a guy like Welker, you're going to see a lot of guys of his ilk.
No.
They'll become the rage and draft. If you think he can do what Welker does, you'll draft him because the league is so pass heavy. You need that outlet guy that you know can get underneath.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Andy. I think, you know, for the teams that have a guy like Brady, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like much like we saw Manning utilize that kind of a thing, you know, effectively. But I don't think it does you a whole lot of good if you don't have a great quarterback that can get the ball down the field to your big play guy to open up that stuff underneath. I think.
See, Andy, I don't care
I
about
Andy's
the quarterback.
Right.
I care about 81. I think he's the key.
Yeah,
and that's the guy you have to draft in the top 10 and hope you don't miss on.
My point being, you know, if you're Oakland and you have 81, it didn't matter if you had Welker, too. You didn't have anybody to get the ball to 81 down the field.
Well, see, I would go the other way. We saw with Matt Cassel, you had 81 and 83. You can still throw for 400 a game. I think Randy Moss is the key to having a high-powered offense. You have to have that game-changing receiver that other defenses fear, that they roll everything to, they double him, they use their best corner, whatever. And then Welker picks up the pieces.
And a decent offensive line. Because if
I'm not saying it's just 80. You go to that extreme every freaking time.
Well, I'm going
to
say even
I'm not saying you can field just one player and you win. It's the ultimate team sport. You remind us every time you write an edit letter.
Wow.
We got a big game this week for for ESPN, and they're thrilled to have the Patriots.
But your little theory, it started a couple years ago. As soon as Welker had 111 catches or 112 the first year, there was, what's his name, Danny Amendola or whatever from Texas?
Amendola.
Amendola, Texas.
Texas Tech.
That's good. And they're not valuable. They're only valuable if you have Calvin Johnson. That's right. The guy that's value. And Tom Brady, as Paul points out.
And Welker's pretty good. I don't just think, you know, anybody can do what Welker does.
Everybody else had the chance
believe me,
to be
I was
undrafted and work their way up. Yeah. No one else did.
And I was as skeptical as anybody. I mean, Fred just took a couple of shots at me just now. But not anybody could do it. I do think there's an element that he needs other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
I think
Brady doesn't.
Tom Brady's last answer in the post-game press conference, and he just goes through it. You know, you're playing on the outside. You have the better corners apart from against you, and the whole thing.
Right.
It is what it is. It's a fact.
Right.
If he was great, he wouldn't be a slot receiver.
Well, he doesn't have huge speed. He doesn't have
But that's part of being great.
That's part of being greatness. Right. You have to work harder.
He's smaller.
He's a great slot receiver.
He's got to be willing.
He's small.
No one's going to go give him $100 million to come be their number one receiver.
He's a great slot receiver. Like David Meggett was a great third down change of pace back.
Kevin Falk, I would say. I think Kevin Falk is very good at what he does.
Yeah.
But no one's, you know, throwing $50 million to come be the centerpiece of our offense.
Much like, you know, to remember last year, Darren Sproles was a free agent. And some of the anonymous GMs and stuff that we read from the national guys were saying, you better be careful with this guy because someone's going to throw number one back money at him. And he's not that. He's Kevin Falk. He's a young Kevin Falk.
Sometimes you just need to know your role and enjoy it.
Yeah. And San Diego didn't, you know, go
now,
wild.
It's easier for Welker because the Patriots paid him handsomely to be number two fiddle there. I mean, he's making pretty good coin.
Yeah. He did. As slot receivers go, he's the best in the league right now.
But it would have been interesting had he come up through the Patriots with Moss and at some point reached free agency. Is he willing to re-sign to be number two, or does he take the money and run? I mean, he never had to really face that decision, that dynamic.
You would think that scouts would be smart enough to say he's not a number one.
You'd think scouts would be smart enough not to draft Jamarcus Russell, number one overall.
That's true.
Scouts aren't smart enough. Or Al Davis.
I agree with you, though, on that, Fred.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. I don't have my Google Talk. Do we have any? No, no one's on the phone right now. All right. Steve in Basking Ridge, New Jersey writes in. Longtime podcast listener, but I only write in about as frequently as Paul orders salad for lunch. So you know this is a salient.
Delete the email. We shouldn't read it.
So it's a first timer.
Yes. Yeah, so you know this is a salient and important question. I noticed that whenever you give us the Eric attire update, you only mention his sweater. Is it safe to assume he is also wearing pants?
Hello. Yes, because unlike Fred, Eric does wear pants. Fred is the one who doesn't like pants.
Look, I don't mind taking off the pants and sitting in my boxers. Why not? What's wrong with that?
Everybody else minds.
Decent win for the Pats. Nice work by the defense, but it all seems to come down to the pass rush. Any truth to the rumor that Rex Ryan ate Derek Burgess? Because I don't recall seeing him during the game.
Zero.
There's always a lot on my plate.
He did recover a fumble.
He did.
And will Jarvis Green... Will he be ready for New Orleans? We need a decent rush, or Brady in the offense are going to have to score 40 to have a chance to win Monday. It's, you know, speaking of injuries, it looks like all these injured guys in the New Orleans secondary are coming back for this game.
Tracy Porter won't.
There's three of them that they said are coming back that have been injured.
I don't think that's that. They lost another one Sunday. Lee Torrance is out for the year. And Tracy Porter,
Jabari
Greer is yeah. possible. He's the one that had a chance to play. But Jabari Greer, from what I read last week, Tracy Porter, from what I read last week, is a month out.
Well, I just read something yesterday that said
maybe it was posturing. Maybe Sean Payton comes from that same school. He comes from the Parcells school.
He does. Fred, good call on Maroney being key for the Jets game. After the fumble, I was ready to launch the TV out the window, but he came back with a solid effort. That being said, will Sammy Morris be available on Monday?
That being said, can we get someone else out there?
Yeah, I
would say Morris will be.
I think Morris was close this week, and they probably played it safe.
But one thing I was, I had a spotter for this game, and I told him to look out for any of the guys that are on the injury report over the week to see if they were coming out before the game to kind of work. And he didn't mention that Sammy Morris was out there early. So
it was his first day spotting, though. I thought it was a little rusty.
Let's see.
I thought it was funny. We had an email that said, kind of chastising us a little bit about Maroney. Well, look what's happened here. He's. Are you guys now willing to say he's the number one back?
And right now,
yeah,
yes.
And I was, but the funny part about it is he started the season as the number one back.
Right.
There are no other running backs healthy.
Well,
so for the last month, he's been the only back.
If you made me guess. In December, will he be the number one back if Taylor and Morris are completely healthy? I would guess no.
And let me tell you this, too.
I think it'll be one of them. Maybe Taylor.
I don't think he had a bad game Sunday. I think he was fine. I think Fred's right. I think he had some tough runs. He didn't have a ton of...
Mr. Does Not Fumble fumbled again.
He didn't have a ton of yardage, but you brought that up. What do you think the odds are if Sammy Morris and or Fred Taylor is healthy that Maroney gets back on the field Sunday?
Zero.
After that fumble.
Point. Zero.
I think he still does.
I don't think there's any chance.
Really?
Fumbling twice in five carries? I don't think there's any chance he got back in the game.
If he had an option in that game. I thought you meant this game coming up.
Yeah.
I don't mean
he would have got caught.
I think Taylor's back out there. Absolutely.
I think if Maroney fumbles early in the game like that, I think he's out.
Yeah,
I Morris
agree.
Goes in.
I agree.
So like you could sit there and say, well, has he put a stamp on it? Well, no. I don't think he has.
From Steve. Was Brett Lockett, Mr. Two Penalties, the guy who made the roster instead of Greg Lewis? Incredible effort by Welker versus the Jets, but the Pats can't keep counting on that type of performance. We're just too thin at wide receiver.
Why not? We've been counting on it for 3 years.
Yes, Brett Lockett is that guy that they claimed off of waivers that forced them to get rid of Greg Lewis. That's correct. And I would agree with Andy. I think they're going to continue to throw the ball 15 times a game to Welker.
Now, I've been a big believer that sooner or later the luck's going to run out. You can't count on them forever. But right now, that's what you have. You can.
I mean, they threw how many passes? 42 passes?
Yep.
And 28 of them went to Moss and Welker.
Oh.
Yeah.
17 to Welker and 11 to Moss.
Yep.
So, I mean, that tells you where they're throwing the football. The days of
tight ends not targeted, not once.
I got to give them a pass. They were offensive linemen this week. They were in blocking.
I know,
for the whole game this week.
Ben Watson's having a good year for any tight end. I think he'd throw him the ball once in a game.
But I also would say that the days of the whole wow, look at Brady spreading it out to 8, 9 different. Those are long gone, long gone. It's Moss and Welker. That's what and I have no problem with that, by the way.
Potent cocktail.
I have no problem with that. I don't need to see everybody. This is not college. Not everybody needs to get their letter. You move the ball the best way you know how, and to me, Moss and Welker is the best way.
So is it safe to say that if you're a defense looking at the Patriots, in order to take away both Moss and Welker, I'm going to have to give up some of my pass rush? If I want to pressure Brady, I've got to pick my poison with Moss or Welker. Is that safe to say?
Maybe. It depends on how your rush is.
You know, so
like if I'm the Colts, no. I say I still have Freeney and Matt. You know what I mean? If you're a blitzing team, sure. You're not going to be able to sell out and blitz as much. Yeah. If so, you're going to get burned.
So, if Darrelle Revis were an Indianapolis Colt,
the Patriots may not score 10 points.
I'm not so sure that Welker catches 15 for $192 against the other guys.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I don't think – and, you know – they wasted, in my opinion, Lito Shepard in that game, the Jets. I thought they kept him outside far too often and tried to do it with Donald Strickland, who, by the way, got his absolute light switch.
He's claiming that was a cheap
shot by Mark LaVore.
I don't see how that's a cheap shot.
I'll tell you this. I think it's a clean hit, but I think it's going to be a fine because that's one of those hits the NFL is trying to legislate out, those blindside hits.
Well, it is a cheap shot. I mean, you get to just absolutely kill the guy. He doesn't
know. He didn't know it was – he wasn't looking at the guy.
You can make that block without killing him.
And I think –
be in the way. You can push him.
He got air hold.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I think –
which is generally a cheap shot. And there's a way to get in a way without actually killing
somebody.
It's
very similar to the Hines Ward hit on Keith Rivers last year that broke Rivers' jaw that didn't get a penalty in the game but got fined and – legislated as a point of emphasis in the summer.
But sooner or later,
clean hit.
I mean, you can't put in the rule if the guy's not looking, you can't hit him.
Yeah, I agree. It's
so
a clean hit.
At some point,
it's
football.
Like they say in lacrosse, head on a swivel.
It was a clean hit
in football, too.
It was a clean hit. There's no
My
no
guess
way
is
out,
they said
no
it in football
around.
Long before they ever said it in lacrosse.
Well, lacrosse has been around since the American Indians.
Okay.
It's an older sport than football.
Okay, maybe they said it first. I didn't know that. I don't necessarily believe it either, but...
I don't know. So
I can't directly dispute it.
We have found a thing that I won't argue about. I don't know the answer to that.
You really do. When you go into something, you go full bore. You start looking into the history of lacrosse and all that.
Sure. People think that the national sport of Canada is hockey. It's lacrosse.
Well, I think most people think that, don't they?
I don't know. I didn't know that until I...
Canada's on my pay no mind list.
That's true.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
So you're psyched up for this game,
Fred.
Why are there wings in there?
You got wings?
There's a wing.
Looks like a Play-Doh food.
Oh, Doc, you're holding out on us. Doc has wings.
His little butt boy just brought him a covered plate of food from somewhere.
That's unbelievable.
Look how red he's turning.
That's unbelievable.
What did he have?
Sorry, you guys weren't invited.
You got caught red-faced.
We can't leave now. We got snacks.
We invite you to our party.
A producer party.
Yeah.
Not very well.
Hey,
that party.
What was I going to say? I forgot.
I'll get you guys something.
Yeah, Paul invited you to his party that you were going to produce music, and you forgot the cord.
I didn't forget it. I lost it.
Much
better.
Story straight. Thing. Surprised you didn't blame it on Tomash.
No, it was my fault.
Who just brought you food.
Freddie, big
he
game
still
for
still caters
you?
To you.
This Saints game, big game for you?
Huge.
Really?
Huge. I'm fearful, though.
I'm a little fearful, too. But I don't think it's... I don't want to say it's not a big game. I'm not trying to minimize it and be like one of those Patriots
fans. I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you.
But it's a non-conference game.
Right.
And
you're going to lose one. This is actually the one to lose.
I think the Colts game 2 weeks ago was much bigger.
Oh,
much,
absolutely.
Much, much bigger.
Much, much bigger. Yeah, I mean, this is a big game just to see where your team is at.
Well, I think it's a big game for one of the reasons you said earlier about the road thing.
Yeah.
A good opponent on the road. They haven't beaten anybody on the road.
Hostile environment.
Let alone a good one.
Yep.
And they do have a very, very solid chance, especially with Cincinnati losing this week, for the number two seed still. So in that regard, you can't afford to lose any games. 13-3, I think they're a lock for the number two.
Right.
But I don't think
it's not
think it's
not devastating.
Yeah, and I don't want to diminish it because it makes it sound like, oh, you know, listen to the Patriot fan making excuses before the game even happens.
Right.
I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to lower expectations here.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's an important game. I do. I just don't think it's.
Yeah. I'm not
going to
feel as devastated as, you know, besides how the game ended. I'm not going to feel as devastated as I did losing to the Colts if they lose to the Saints.
However, if they do lose this game and Miami wins, Miami plays Buffalo, I believe.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you got a one-game difference, and you go to Miami the next week.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly you might be thinking about post-Thanksgiving, you're still playing for the division when we all kind of thought, I know I did anyway, that the division has been a formality now for a month.
Yeah.
You know, you could find yourself tied at 7-5
Yeah.
Heading down the stretch. Now, even in that case, I still like the Patriots' chances, but I don't want to be in that situation.
Does playing at night in Miami make any difference between playing during the day? Do the Patriots have a better chance of winning at 1 o'clock than they do at 8:30 at night in Miami, or does it make no difference at all?
No difference.
At this time, if it was October or September, I would say maybe it would make a difference, but December, I can't imagine it's that much of an issue, the heat. And the last time we played down there at night, we lost, if I recall. 29-28.
Tom Brady doesn't play well there.
It's not Tom Brady's fault.
Using the Fred Kirsch assessment tool, that Titans 59-0 blowout looking better by the week.
Well, yeah, I know, but it was pre, you know.
Well, now you're shooting down your own theory of assessing games later in the year.
No, but it was a different quarterback.
It is all about. Yeah.
I think if they played that team right now that played last night, that has their entire secondary back, and Chris Johnson running the way he's running, and Vince Young running that option, I think the Patriots would be in a dogfight.
And maybe not in snow.
Because I don't think the Patriots would do a good job against that option.
Maybe
based
not,
on what I saw from Pat White and Tully Bantakane covering the pitch man.
Maybe not in snow either.
I'm saying a real game.
I think Tennessee decided before the game had started.
But I think the snow was irrelevant.
I think that was part of the reason why they.
Today they have their corners.
They have
Vince Young, who, whatever you think of him, just wins.
Well, I mean, the whole thing.
And Chris Johnson is on a different planet right now.
A team that was 13-3 a year ago could be so bad, and they were right. They're not that bad.
Yeah.
Now they're getting back to closer to what they were last year.
I think they do have some talent. I still don't think it's a 13-3
team,
but
isn't.
I do think they have talent.
Yeah,
you're right.
It wasn't a 13-3 team last year.
And they were very banged up when the Patriots played. But that's the big thing with, you know, more so than you wait till see what happens with the season. It's all about timing, too.
Yeah.
You know, you could play, you know, look at the Patriots. Patriots played the Jets in week 2. If the Patriots played the Jets in week 11 like
five,
we did.
5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, they beat them.
Well, maybe not. But if they played them in week 11 like we did on Sunday and then week 16, that's two easy wins. Yeah. There's no way the Jets have beaten the Patriots at this point in the season. But the first 4 or 5 weeks, the Jets were a pretty good team. Just like the first 4 or 5 weeks, the Titans were a god-awful team.
Larry says if the Patriots had beaten the Colts, then this game wouldn't even mean as much as it does.
You might be right, Larry.
He's right.
Hello, Larry.
So,
but they didn't. So it does.
I think it's an important game. I don't want
to.
Dismiss it. It's an important game because they haven't won on the road. They really haven't beaten any upper echelon teams. Mentally, it's a big game. It is
big hurdle.
Yeah. Now we're getting to the point where we've got 2 10-0 teams.
I don't care about.
I don't care about that.
I do.
I'm talking about
spiteful.
The inability to win on the road.
Neither
the inability
one of them is
to
go
win big games.
Fred,
all that.
Well, I don't know about that. Imagine
the Colts,
if they both do and they
the
met
Colts,
in the Super Bowl
the
and
Colts,
so it's guaranteed to have a 19-0 team.
What a story that would be! I never even thought of that. I did
and dismissed it as quickly as I thought.
No matter what.
Why you don't
Mercury
think if they
Morris,
both went 16-0, there's a chance they could meet in the Super Bowl?
I don't think there's any chance
they
both
have
there.
Home field all the
I
way
don't think there's any chance. What part of that don't you get?
Okay.
Why
that works better than I thought.
When you're being all adamant about it and stuff, I mean, come on.
Fred, you don't believe the Saints are the best team in the NFC, correct?
But they're one of the two best teams,
the bottom line is you think one
Andy,
team is definitively
if
better
they have
than
home
I
field
well,
throughout.
I and then the other guess, in the postseason, someone always gets hot. So now you're saying there's at least two teams that could knock them off because you think whoever X is gets hot in the postseason.
Right.
I just think the chances are unlikely.
I think. Well,
how many times has the 2-1s met in the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Not very often.
I don't know.
Not very often. Few and far between. But I'm going with it.
Yeah.
You better get a record.
No, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, it hasn't. Often than not, the 1s do not meet. I'm going to get it right now. I'll
screw
you guys.
I'm not screwing you guys. I would tend to agree with you, but I just. I don't understand why you're so adamant
about
it.
He's, like, so mad.
I thought about it, but then I just completely dismissed it. Like, you got really mad because we brought it up. How can you say there's no chance?
Because I can.
Okay.
And further devalues your whole 19-0. Why you take? Now you guys think two teams are going to be vying for 19-0.
Well, I don't think the Colts have any chance because I don't think they'll try. I don't think they want to go 16-0, and I don't think they'll try to go 16-0. If they win one or two more games, they're going to shut it down. That's what they do.
Conversely, though, Andy, you're saying that there's no way it can happen. So you're creating
no way
the value.
Two teams can go 19-0 or 18-0 and then one
that's
lose.
True.
That's true.
I agree. Right. Two teams cannot go 19-0. Right.
But if they both make the Super Bowl, it's 18-0. One will go 19-0.
You know? But it's not going to happen.
Okay. I hope not. I don't
want
to
bet right
happen.
Now.
No.
I'll make a $100 bet with you right now.
Boy,
$100
really going
bet.
Out on a limb.
Well, you feel like there's a good chance it's going to happen.
No,
that I shouldn't just poo-poo it.
I just said, wouldn't that be something if that happened?
Put your money where your mouth is. So, I know the economy's tight based on your Stop and Shop commercial.
So just saying that we think there's a chance that it could happen means that we're you know, not poo-pooing
You're arguing it. You're arguing
for it. No,
we're
not.
Yes, you are.
There's no, first of all.
So now you're just arguing me for the sake of arguing.
No. I'm arguing with you that there's a chance. You're saying there's no chance.
Right.
I don't think they're both going to go 16-0 in the regular season, so I don't think it's the chance they're going to make it through as
2008, the 2008, 2 versus 4. 2007, 1 versus 5. 2006, 3 versus 1. 2005, 6 versus 1. 2004, 1 versus 2. 2003, 1 versus 3. 2002, 1 versus 2. 2001, 2 versus 1. 2000,
so every
4
year
versus 1.
Gets in.
Yeah, but
we
two
didn't
ones
argue
have
that.
To
I know, but.
Don't change the argument just because I'm blowing you out of the water here. 1999, 4 versus 1. 1998, 1 versus 2. 1997, 4 versus 2. 1996, 2 versus 1.
So it's never
1995,
happened?
2 versus 1. 1994, 2 versus 1. 1993.
That's the only
time? The Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys, 1 versus 1.
All right, go back a couple more
years. 1992, 4 versus 2. 1991, 1 versus 1, Buffalo versus Washington.
So it happened twice ever?
1990, 1 versus 2.
Okay,
19...
that's as far as you have to go because that's when the current system
oh, yeah.
was created.
Twice ever, and it hasn't happened in 17 years.
Twice.
Or maybe, was that right? What did I say?
See, now I knew it didn't happen a lot, but I thought it happened more than twice.
So now this time it not only has to happen, but they both have to be undefeated.
And you're saying there's no chance.
Get me one of those people, footballmoderator.com,
well, you said,
to give me
no,
the percentages.
We don't need percentages to get your percentage.
I'm saying there's no chance.
You said zero.
$100 for you, too? Should I put you down for
$100? I don't need an MIT professor to tell me what your percentage is. You said
0.0. 0.0. Mark Sanchez's halftime rating, 0.0.
Edelman.
It's open to listeners, too. $100 for all of you that want
to
bet.
All right. Anyone that wants to bet, Andy, $100 that – these two teams won't go undefeated and meet in the Super Bowl.
Call now because I can only accept three. My wife would kill me if I went more than that.
I'm not betting him. Clearly the odds, you have to give us odds for that. The odds are strongly stacked in your favor.
Oh, they are they?
Strongly stacked in your favor, so you have to give us odds for that.
I don't do odds.
Like, we would have to give you 10 for you to give us 100.
Right.
I mean, that's twice in...
That's no fun. I don't want to win 10 bucks.
Well, I'll make it 100 and you give us 1,000.
I don't want to lose 1,000.
No, obviously you don't feel as strongly about it as you thought, eh,
you
Mr.
know I
Case?
Can't have that conversation with Deidre. I lost $1,000 on a stupid bet, dear.
Yeah, but I would let you put... Freddie.
You know what I'd have to do? I'd have to bring the record of Factbook home and say, look how many times it happened, Deidre. 1997, 1 versus 4.
And she'd be like, what are you talking about?
Freddie, hey, there's a car chase on Fox, by the way.
It's in Miami, by the way.
Nice.
Those are always...
Usually they're in California.
It's in Miami.
Uh-oh, and our camera's
out of my
moving.
Face.
We're
all watching it and stop talking.
Freddie, Andy and I, and I think Eric is going to join us too, have the first leg of the Perillo College Football Tour planned. You scoffed at us, but I think the listeners be interested. We are strongly considering UConn, who is led by Andy's high school star, Jordan Todman, at the Big House, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. We already map-quested it. It's only about a 13.5-hour drive in the RV.
Eric said he'd drive.
That'll be fun.
You brought three chicken
You guys
wings.
All in an RV?
I'm good with the chicken wings, by the way.
No blue cheese?
Where'd they come from?
What kind of wings are those? Who did?
Chuck.
Who's Chuck?
Who the
KSK.
Is Chuck?
Hence why they didn't offer. Who's Chuck?
Well, I see them running in here every time we have a Qdoba spread.
Right.
I see plenty of them anytime there's free food in here.
Let's see.
And I bet Chuck's included.
So
whoever Chuck
what is.
What is
it? September 4th?
September 4th, 2010.
And Freddie.
UConn at Michigan.
Well, and we're all
not,
leaving,
we're
Freddie.
Just not working next year.
You may have
yes,
to handle that issue.
We're going to take a week off.
Well,
here.
We're explaining
cult,
it right
the
now.
The Pulse cut story you
is,
may have
is
to
up,
write.
Is up to you, Freddie. We're putting some responsibilities on your shoulders. They make the cuts on that day.
Remember when police were at Fenway and you said, see you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. It's similar to that.
Yeah. The week before the first game.
Right.
Well, this is the all off weekend.
It's an off week. We'll all see. You have to do is the
guys aren't going anywhere.
Well, you saying we can't?
Yes, they're not going anywhere.
Are you suggesting that our wives won't let us go?
I think that might be.
I've
part
already
of
got
it.
Approval, so I'm one.
I haven't even. You're
not
I haven't even discussed
anywhere.
It yet. But
who's going to drive the RV?
Eric Squidward.
He can't even make it up the hills of North Providence.
That's true.
Squidward's going to drive because I said that I would pay for the RV as long as I don't
lies.
Have to
you
make
it. Well, I can
a
just see
driving.
Squidward driving that thing, telling you guys to shut up.
And you see
I'm
those?
I would
those
take
chicken
a
wings
or two.
Those chicken wings, there's going to be about 100 of them.
Andy
and I might
behind
eat 70.
Him giving him wet willies while he's
you interested,
drive.
Doc?
I'm not.
You can provide, you can provide the entertainment.
I don't call it Willie either.
If you don't lose the cord.
What?
Where are we going?
I invited
Michigan.
Doc.
UConn at Michigan. Opening weekend, 2009.
It's not like Syracuse.
So
listen, wait listen. A just because you have a team doesn't mean you have a team.
Is this the
my
new
sister
team
went
you're
to Michigan. I'll root for
now
Michigan.
That Northeastern doesn't have a football pro, are you adopting
no. UConn? Any Husky in a storm? No.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No?
Matter of fact,
it's too high a level of football for Paul.
I will be rooting for UConn because I strongly dislike Michigan. So I will root for UConn at the game. But if they were playing, like,
I'm just
say,
rooting for Todman.
If we were going to see them play someone, you know, Florida State or something, I'd be rooting for Florida State. I like them.
Against UConn?
Yeah.
I always go for the underdog. Come on. And it's New England.
Are you like 11?
Yeah.
Like, where do you get your allegiances?
It's New England.
I'll tell you where
underdog?
He gets them. Where
color
do they have
the
a great
uniform.
Player and they win championships? Because it was Elway. It was the Celtics. He moves on quicker
like,
than anyone.
Like in the World Series. Well, you don't care. That's a bad example because you don't care about anything.
He did watch every Mets game in 1962 or whatever.
I bet you Fred was a big Bulls fan in the 90s.
Do you automatically root for the AFC team in the Super Bowl
wait,
when the
69,
Patriots aren't
wasn't that
no.
the Mets team that was good?
What?
69 Mets. Yeah, they won it all.
If you never had a team you rooted for that wasn't good, did you?
Well,
because you cut ties with them.
In 68, they weren't that good, and I rooted for them in 68.
You're a fraud. You saw the potential in that 68
team. All right, so if
you still,
I,
have, that, you still have that
I was
Yankees
7 years
head
old.
All right, so let's eliminate, Freddie, let's eliminate Pittsburgh, Indy, Oakland, and the Jets.
Right, depends on who's
because I know you hate all four of those teams.
Okay.
Anybody else, would you root for that team in the AFC, the AFC
who
team?
Who are they playing?
Over anybody in the
NFC. No, I really have to know who the team is.
I think
no, I don't. I don't look at it AFC, NFC. I have no allegiance to the AFC. I really don't.
Because you have, like, otherwise you have this mentality as a sports fan. I don't get.
It all depends on personalities on the team and who
like,
I hate.
Why would you just blindly root for an underdog? Why wouldn't you root for the team that you like?
When everything else is even, I root for the upset. I always do.
So you it's never even.
You
but when do you not have any opinion?
What?
Right
I
now.
Have an opinion when I have some type of vested interest in the team.
But that's what I'm saying.
And then I try to create an interest.
Like
so
when
I
you,
have
when you watch a game, how often do you watch a game that you really don't care about either team? That you would just say, well, I don't have any allegiance to anybody, so I'm just going to root for the underdog.
Okay, well, last night I could care less about either team, Tennessee or Houston.
See, now
I ended up rooting for Houston. For some reason,
I would have rooted for Houston because I don't like Tennessee.
That's not why. For some reason, I just wanted to see Houston beat Tennessee. Although it's better for the Patriots,
it was better
to have Tennessee.
It was
win.
Better for the Patriots, but I don't really care because Houston's not a threat anyway.
Yeah. But for some, I like Houston. They've been a down franchise, and I just wanted to see them win. That's all.
I just think it's. It would be hard for me to watch a game.
I guess if I wanted any of the wings, I wouldn't have been able to have any.
They sat there and you guys were mocking them.
Because I'm doing a radio show.
Well, I said I didn't want
it. Not very well.
At least I'm doing something.
He's eating.
Good point, Doc.
I couldn't possibly watch a game between two teams that I really didn't care about. That I had no feeling on at all. Like I would, if I put on a game, there's something about one of the teams that either I like or something about one of the
so
teams
you
don't
just
like.
Watch football because there's nothing else, just because
no,
football's
I
on?
I don't watch a Monday night. I didn't watch a Monday night game all year.
I do, Fred. I love
it. I enjoy watching football.
Football's the greatest sport on earth.
I like football, but I don't. Well,
but
I don't.
Unless you have some type of interest in a team, you're not going to watch.
No, what I'm saying
is, so you don't
is,
like football.
No, what I'm saying, is, first of all, whether I had a vested interest or not, I don't watch the Monday night game. I'd rather watch the sitcoms on Monday night.
What?
I did click off for 2.5 minutes. It wasn't very funny.
You guys are nuts.
Really? If only you watched the Patriots as closely as you watch these Monday night games.
I do watch the Monday
you
night games.
You think you would have picked something up by
need
now.
A spotter.
Let's see. Henry from Whitefish, Montana. Says,
who was standing like Captain Morgan on top of a table with like his...
He's doing a fine job, Craig. Don't let him get you down.
Our PR director comes up to me and whispers in my ear, who's this guy?
Was it Dink or Dong?
Dong.
I don't know which is which.
Because Chris was Ding.
Henry says that Julian Edelman needs a nickname. How about World War II, WW2?
Wes Welker 2?
Yeah.
11.
Because he is number 11. He's like the second coming of Wes Welker.
How about annoying little Nat?
More simple, the understudy.
How about Fumbler?
Wow.
Wow.
That was, at the time, that could have been a big play. Now, in Edelman's defense, the guy fumbled two plays later, and they lost the ball anyway, so it didn't matter.
I love dicks as well.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
What'd you think of the Wildcat play, Freddie?
Stupid, because...
Because it didn't work. Just say it.
No, really, I mean, what good is it to gonna have this guy come in motion and take the snap? You know, what's he going to do?
He was going to go for a quarterback sneak and get the first down.
Yeah.
What's he gonna, what good does it do?
I'm not buying it.
Couldn't you use that logic on any play? What good does it do to have the quarterback way back in the shotgun?
I had no problem with the call.
I don't either.
I don't think the Wildcat is a big need for the Patriots because their offense is so good, but I had no problem with the call.
I'll be honest with you. I'd rather see Steinbeck involved in trick plays.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued by him.
He's not an author.
He's big, athletic. I want to see him involved in something.
You might.
Now that Edelman has failed in his one attempt, let's put that one in our back pocket and keep it there.
Let's catch by Crabtree.
They got to hold some stuff for the playoffs. Scott and Leeds.
So Steinbeck is the secret weapon that's going to be the difference?
That's right. Scott and Leeds.
I would have given you a push on
that. Hey
Paul.
There, dudes, especially Andy, who was extremely underrated.
I agree. Who's this?
Scott.
Andy is excellent.
Great, Scott.
And Dudette. Eric in his sweater.
You just lost a lot of credibility.
Glad you enjoyed was Wembley you and Eric such. On the running game, running back argument, have you seen Stanford's Toby Gerhardt? He seems to be better than Brandon Jacobs in terms of running style, but I've not seen him ranked as a first-round pick in the early predictions. Where do you guys see him going, and any chance we grab him as a bruising short yardage back, maybe even a feature back like Deuce McAllister used to be?
I haven't seen any of the rankings to see where he's slated to go.
Like we always say,
if
he's a first, the season's over, we'll start watching the
tape. If he's a first or second-round guy, then no, I don't see the Patriots taking him. If he's a mid-round guy, then maybe.
With Breeze being great against blitzes and our secondary not being great in coverage when there's no pressure, they have five decent receiving threats, Bush, Colston, Moore, Shockey, Meacham, we can only cover two or three to any decent level, I reckon. How do you see us scheming against them? I think this is going to be a shootout. We just have to avoid number 42, Sharper, but one big defensive play could swing it, especially in that stadium. What do you think?
I agree. I think turnovers in red zone. This is everything we said about the Colts game, I think, applies here. I think the teams that protect their quarterback and avoid turnovers the best, and the teams that get seven instead of three more often.
I think this offense
win.
Is better.
I think it runs better.
I think it's absolutely better.
I
don't think the top end talent at receiver is better, but I think the depth is better.
They don't have a Reggie Wayne.
I think Henderson is better than Garcon.
Colston, Henderson,
Meacham is better than Colley.
Lance Moore, Shockey.
I mean, they.
Even David Thomas.
This secondary is going to get
Reggie
tested
Bush,
like it didn't get
and they have a
in
good
Indy.
Running game.
They're all averaging five yards a carry.
They don't have a 1,000-yard guy. Their leading rusher is going to end up with about 800 yards.
You got another Peter to watch, Fred.
Yeah, Pierre Thomas, Mike Bush.
They got a Peter and a Bush.
Mike Bell, not Michael Bush. Mike Bell. And Bush is probably going to be
Eddie's just having a great time over there.
That's why I'm underrated.
You just got to keep going.
Yeah.
I love how
I
he would never
Andy.
Think Paul, of making Paul's, a Peter joke.
Paul's trying to break things down, and they got a Peter and a Bush.
Paul's just keep going.
Well, you have to.
I try to break it
Otherwise,
down.
We would never get to anything.
What the hell are you guys?
You laugh. You laugh when he makes you laugh, and then you just keep going.
Scott,
and I agree with them. I think the Saints' offense is better than much better than the Colts.
Scott ends up, he says, only a short one this time, so cheers for the good work. I recently got dumped by my long-term girlfriend who told me yesterday that she now has met someone else, so I'm pretty low. And you guys cheer me up more than most other things do lately. So I'm glad, Scott. Sorry about that.
Scott, we'll give it about a one-week grace period.
She didn't deserve you anyway.
Next week, you don't want to be listening to us because we're probably going to take some insensitive shots.
Now, did she have a new man before or after that? She ended the long-term
Evidently,
relationship.
It's not going to be a one-week hiatus, Scott.
It's a little.
Andy's decided to make it an 11-second hiatus. Sorry.
I have no formal artistic training.
Did you come up short in certain areas?
Isn't Bush hurt?
Yes, he missed last week.
Yeah, Scott, don't feel that bad, Scott. Eric's been dumped by the female population, so.
Well, I would say passed over by the female
population.
Yeah,
because I'm not
sure,
he
was ever dumped. Yeah. That would imply they picked him up at some point.
Scott had a long-term relationship, and I'm not sure that Eric can say that.
No, the woman.
That's true.
Brian in L.A., I wanted to let you know that guilt tripping works. I've been listening to your show for years, but just finally subscribed, and what prompted this was Andy's reminder on air that fans should subscribe. You appeal to
I'm making you money, Fred.
You appeal to my Catholic guilt. You should do this more often. By the way, I wanted the online version, but unfortunately I live in the United States. So instead of moving overseas, I'm sending the subscription as a gift to my dad in Mass, and I'll just use his info to read online. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. You can double dip a little bit.
Very good idea.
Send a gift and use the code for yourself.
Brilliant.
Right.
That is brilliant.
Very good.
Brilliant.
Thank you for the business.
Yes, thank you very much.
Assuming your order goes through, because with Carol, our circulation manager, that's always questionable at best.
Andrew from the Queens in New York.
The Queens. Sure it's not Andrew the Queen?
Or is he in the Bronx?
If we lose to the Saints and the Fish win this week so that they're only a game back on us, are they going to flex it back to prime time?
No.
They can't.
No.
The game that they chose was Minnesota, Arizona,
right.
I believe.
Yeah. Which
not a bad pick.
Eh. Where is that?
Don't know.
Well, it really is Minnesota. As much as I can't stand Brett Favre, you got to hand it to them.
They right now, and Andy said this Sunday, they're playing the best football in the league.
You think they're better than the Saints?
No. But they are playing
playing the best.
The Saints do what some of these teams do where they trail, they got to come. Every week it seems like the Vikings come out a team they're supposed to beat, they go up 14-21-0 and cruise to victory.
Yeah, except for against Detroit. The two games against Detroit are the only exceptions to that.
It happens. When they face a good team like that.
I think such a solid offensive and defensive line, that part of the game has taken care of them.
They're solid everywhere. They have decent players
across
the board.
They're a very, very, very good team.
They are a good team. I think that their only concern would be Favre holding out.
Yeah, I think if the NFC Championship is in, you know, if it's the Saints and the Vikings. If it's in Minnesota, Vikings win. If it's in New Orleans, I think the Saints win.
Well, I think they both benefit from the other being the potential.
Yeah, because they don't have to change anything. They're indoors.
They're going to be dome.
Right. Especially New Orleans having to go.
Yeah.
You know, New Orleans could be dramatically affected having to play, like at Chicago, like they did a few years ago.
Did you see that three of the CBS studio hosts picked a Minnesota-New England Super Bowl?
Is that right?
When?
Sunday.
How many studio hosts picked?
Four.
Oh, see, more lack of respect. There was a guy who didn't pick the Patriots.
Marino, Boomer, and Sharp
picked them.
Picked the Patriots. Boomer picked New Orleans versus New England, and Bill Cowher picked Minnesota, Pittsburgh.
I like it.
Pittsburgh went
Cowher
on to lose.
Cowher could be in Buffalo.
And Pittsburgh went on to lose to Kansas City.
He said no?
I thought he declined.
I thought he just said he wasn't going to do anything till the end of the season.
Oh.
You know?
Maybe the Bills really are going after a big name, though.
Well, Shanahan's not out yet, right?
No.
Well, Wilson said, if you think I'm cheap, you're looking down the wrong side of the street. I don't know what that means, but it definitely, he's saying.
I read that and chuckled last week.
Now
I just didn't really understand it.
Now he's got to he's got to back it up. Now he's kind of set himself up to have to spend
money. Well, I saw Schefter reported, sort of furthering his story about Shanahan, that they are set to meet.
Yes.
So. I don't see why you would meet with the guy if you didn't intend on having
interest. That was a show of, we tried, and then we'll go hire some guy from the CFL.
Well, I was surprised Shanahan even agreed to meet with him, because I would think that Shanahan wouldn't even be interested.
We're going to find out what he looks like when he pales to white.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily make that assumption.
Paints that on or lays in a
absolutely.
Bed?
Absolutely.
Paint?
Speaking of the Bills.
Something artificial about it.
Speaking of the Bills, Strippers tells us that they just signed Kendall Simmons.
Okay.
Oh. Old friend.
Well, on account of the previous guard had an issue with his leg. It was sticking out the wrong way.
I heard that. I didn't see it. I don't want to.
Eric Wood.
Ugh.
The guy the Patriots wanted.
Yes.
Rob in Rochester, New York, Bill Belichick is supposed to be a defensive genius, and yet it seems that defensive adjustments at halftime do not work or are not made, as the Pats' defense seems worse in the second half of games while the opposition's defense plays better. Why is that? We were talking about that earlier.
If you get back to our other point, maybe the Patriots' offense is also playing worse, so the opponent's defense isn't really better.
Yeah, I think that the more glaring of the differences is the Patriots' offense than the Patriots' defense. I think the Patriots' defense kind of is what it is. I think it's okay. It's getting the job done. It hasn't dominated, but it's getting the job done.
Good enough.
First and second half. The Patriots' offense has been very good in first halves and just okay in the second halves.
Matt, Andy's friend from Dartmouth, says, okay, someone explain to me this latest decision for flex scheduling. I thought they do this so the nation can see the big games that hold a great deal of interest. That being said, how does Vikings versus Cardinals hold more interest than Patriots-Dolphins? I'm willing to bet Pats-Dolphins will have more on the line than Vikings-Cardinals. Way to go, Kamish. The only good part for the Pats will be the rest for a potential playoff run. I disagree with that. I don't know.
Well, Favre is a draw. Everybody wants to put Favre.
They want Brett Favre on there and Larry Fitzgerald.
I think they're pretty even
Brett Favre
in terms of interest. Yeah. I think they're pretty even games. But, I just look at it flat out. You have a one-loss team and a three-loss team. The best you have for the Patriots is a three-loss team and a five-loss team. Yeah. Minnesota-Arizona is a better matchup.
Right.
Now, listen.
And Miami everybody games are boring.
Everybody could go out and lose this week and make it irrelevant, but.
Yeah.
Well, the
Miami kind of gets it, you know, they bog you down.
They're boring, but they're usually the Patriots are in a bit of a dogfight, I think.
Yeah. No, they're tough games.
Yeah. I think the Cardinals have a chance to lay an egg any day.
Yeah.
That's the kind of team they are. They can come out in five turnovers. And I think that could be a terrible game that the Vikings just absolutely kill them, run all over them, make plays. But I think they have star power. This, just so you know, this is Matt who I had to tell him what a homer was. He's a homer.
That's
anything
okay.
that hurts the Patriots, he definitely sees from the Patriots side.
Well, you know what? I think this helps the Patriots.
No, I know, but he sees it from
the prime
time. That's where the best play. How come we're not the best
on
that
night? If they had this game still at night, Matt, it would have been three out of the last four games, nighttime games.
And I think that wears on you, and they all would have been on the road. I think this helps the Patriots. But I do also think of it in terms – if I were a network guy and I had a choice between a traditional division matchup and something good enough – out of division. I would take the out of division every time. And Minnesota, Arizona, to me, is good enough out of division.
Matt also says Rex Ryan is literally and figuratively the biggest hypocrite in the NFL. So the Patriots are being disrespectful. Huh, Rexy? All that talk about the Super Bowl in week two, not kissing rings, O'Connell as a captain. Why don't you go home, turn on a sad Lifetime movie, and lose yourself in a trough of Ben and Jerry's cookie dough ice cream, you whiny see you next Tuesday? Or is that not enough ice cream?
Back to that homer part again.
Right.
It's a good point. Good point. He started it.
Sure. I mean, he did. If he's going to talk, if he's going to do little things, he's going to get them back.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily would have had any problem if they were talking about him post-game saying...
No, I know, but...
Yeah, they won their big Revis Moss matchup. Meanwhile, they couldn't cover... Well, I don't think he would have found that as being disrespectful.
To me, the play is no different, as I said, than the O'Connell thing. They're little things you do to jab, to poke. Little pokes.
Oh, by the way, your guy's favorite coach going to the...
who's my guy and who's his
favorite
coach?
Going to the Chargers before the game and saying, we own you?
That's ridiculous.
Your guy, Josh McDaniels?
That's ridiculous.
That's my guy.
Has he lost it or what?
Well, he's lost it and gained it four times this year in his first year in Denver.
I think that was dumb. Yeah. What do you want me to say?
It's kind of like it was dumb when Bill said we couldn't run the length of Mike today in Cleveland.
Exactly.
Well, you learn stuff
similar.
That's
talking about yourself.
No, I know, but my point is, it's a learning curve. It's a growing process.
Yeah, no, it is.
You learn what to do, what not to do. Maybe he regrets hopping around in the field and coming to our bus and hugging media people and all that.
He should regret that.
Maybe he does, but maybe next time he won't. Don't you get better as you go along? What's everybody looking at?
Wow, that car chase. That was big time. This guy's all over the place.
Yeah, he's losing control.
Well, yeah, it's already over.
Yeah, it's
this
over
is,
now.
This just happened.
He's also lost portions of his vehicle.
I think he lost a wheel.
Yeah. Wow. He's...
He put the windshield wipers on, though.
I wonder if he
there
put
was a bug on the windshield.
I wonder if he put those on or if they just – because you started slamming into walls. The stuff just started doing. Yeah, he's face down. In the,
he looked like Paul trying to catch the bus that first road game that he went on.
Fred, nothing ever looked like that. Nothing.
And here he comes. And
it just rolls out the window, Duke style.
Alejandro from Bogota.
Give
credit to Josh McDaniels. Getting two first picks for that enormous douchebag is a great deal. I don't know why Mike Shanahan was in love with him. Speaking of Shanahan, he gets a bad rap for not winning a title since Elway retired, but neither have 24 other franchises. listening to 98.5 in the afternoon, Maserati and the Mad Douche.
Give me
they
a break.
Spoke about the Patriots' lack of scoring in the second half. Here is the Patriots' scoring by quarter so far this season. In the first quarter, 71. Second quarter, 125. Third quarter, 39. Fourth quarter, 55. The average of 3.9 points in the third quarter is glaring. The Patriots have been shut down in five third quarters. What's your take? Well, that's what
it was my understanding
kind of
that there would be
that.
No math.
And this week, the
that's
Saints are a
glaring.
Team that are second
and
fourth quarter heavy with their scoring.
On top of that,
over 100 both quarters.
On top of that, I would say the majority of games they've won the toss and deferred to the second half, so they've gotten the ball first in the second half. Except for last game they didn't. But.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's an accurate stat there, the coin toss thing. But
well, that never stopped him before.
But that's glaring. 39 points in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah.
That's a glaring number. 10 games, 39 points. That's really, really low.
Failure to adjust.
And even and that's, they put up a zero in a game where they scored 34 against the Colts.
Yeah. Andy from Queens also wants to know, how many times have there been two 10-0 teams? I think this is the first time, right?
I couldn't tell you.
I believe it is.
I'll check the NFL notes. Sure
when the Patriots played the Colts in 07, it was like 8-0 against 7-0 or something like that. And didn't they say that was the latest that two undefeateds ever met? Now, this is not the same thing.
Right.
But so I can't imagine there were too many times there were multiple teams.
Doc, look it up.
All right.
Stop drinking the soup. You didn't even bring me any soup. I got
Matt also
wings.
Says, hey, Andy, I'll drive to and from on the road trip to Michigan. No sleep needed. Just want a ticket. That way you guys can partake in road trip shenanigans with no repercussions.
Ooh,
who's
know.
This?
So you have a driver, Matt from Dartmouth.
You know who should we invite? Strippers. And his friends.
Well, you can pick him up on the way. He's up in New Hampshire.
We could probably see some of those.
Yeah, I probably.
All right, Doc.
I want to keep that wife approval.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. That's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. The football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots Instant Game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots Instant Game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriots, PFW in progress!
All right, back here in PFW in progress, waiting for the rest of that.
I thought it was longer.
Oh! Let's see. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Want to remind everyone that Lowdown with Brian Lowe, the fantasy show that he does, will be on tomorrow at 2, and it's pre-recorded. So you need to get your emails into Brian Lowe now or by tomorrow morning early, and then he'll read them over the air and answer all your fantasy questions, because Brian is very good at the fantasy football.
Is he?
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Last year he was. I guess he's not having that good a year this year. Kind of like my picks. I'm not having that good a year.
4-12 this week, Freddie, for you.
Against the spread or for...
Yeah, no, with the spread.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. I don't know what's going on.
You do for a good week, though.
I do. It's just a lot of averages.
Let's see. Tabs in the UK says, hey, guys, first-time emailer but long-time listener via the podcast. Great win on Sunday, but let's move on to the Saints. I think the Pats will beat the Saints in what will be a huge offensive battle between the two, and the Patriots' D needs to come up big. Saints have looked vulnerable lately, not counting their last game. Unfortunately, Monday Night Football is not shown here on TV, so curse words is it.
Unfortunately.
That's very unfortunate.
Oh, and neither the Saints or the Colts will go undefeated. No chance.
Well, the Colts have no chance because they won't try. Yeah. We've seen this fact before. They've gotten to 11-12.
This isn't Tony Dungy's team anymore.
But they've already said they're going to do the same thing.
Really?
They're
still on record Peyton Manning's team.
Really? P.S. Not sure if anyone else has this issue, but this week's iTunes has been playing up with the Patriots podcast. It doesn't seem to update, and there is a URL error. Can this be fixed? Thanks, and keep up the great work. Yeah, we did get a lot of emails this morning.
People Chris is not looking into it,
yeah,
trying to replicate the problem.
I think it's an iTunes problem.
Chris actually has a new link that we've sent out to some of the people who've asked about it.
Okay, good.
Can't they just come to our site and download it?
Yes, they can. But if you do it with iTunes, it kind of has every time you
I'm
plug
just trying
in.
To drive traffic to the site, Fred.
Sure.
You know me. It's all about numbers.
All right, what's this now? I'm handed...
It's a piece of paper.
Breaking news. Uh-oh.
All right. Doc has given me the 10-0 team since 1966, and they're so in 1990, there were two 10-0 teams.
Oh, the Giants and the Niners?
The 49ers and the Giants.
I knew that.
Otherwise, there were, there have never been a year in which there were two 10-0 teams except for 1990.
And they met on Monday Night Football, right?
At 10-0?
No. Right. One of them had the Giants, just because the Giants lost Phil Sims that year. And they lost a game heading in that ruined it. It would have been two undefeated. And then the Niners beat them on the Monday Night
Haas.
Game. Yeah, because that year the Giants were 10-0 and they ended up 13-3. They went 3-3 without Sims,
right,
down the stretch, and that's why people weren't really. That's why people considered it such an upset when they went through the playoffs.
The Giants lost 31-13 to Philadelphia.
Yeah, and then they lost like 7-3 or something like that to San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken, in a dreadfully dull Monday Night game that everybody said, "Oh no, that was great defense." Okay. Whatever.
Colt Daddy, one of our Colts fans, says he's rooting for the Pats. He wants to drop. He wants
wonder
to,
why.
He wants to
Colt
drop
Daddy.
Some ICBMs on them.
He wants the Colts to be the only team to go undefeated.
Right.
Oh.
He wants. He's looking for a little help.
He's calling ICBMs insane completions from Brady to Moss.
ICBMs.
Instead of intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Thanks, man.
I see bowel movements often.
That's you true. Think of them often.
That's because they're often...
Because you have a potty mind and
rumbling.
A potty mouth.
I have a potty problem is what I have.
You do.
You see, have you ever seen Gassy Gus? Your kids have that?
No.
Some game where you do things and you like inflate a guy until he bursts.
I've seen a commercial.
I've never seen that.
It's a little older, so I thought maybe...
I didn't know that was what it was called. But.
Let's see. Steve in Toronto. Great show again. I hope Fred is wearing pants, at least while you're eating lunch. Lacrosse was the national sport of Canada since that sort of thing has been chosen. However, about a decade or 15 years ago, hockey was elevated to the national sport as well. Paul, at this point, will say, who cares? But it does make a difference in government funding at the grassroots level.
No, I always thought that lacrosse was, so I would care. I was wrong.
North American Indians, mainly the Huron and Iroquois in the Great Lakes region, have been playing the game as early as the 1300s. There were death games at that time. I played on nationally ranked box lacrosse teams as a teen, and many of my more gifted mates got scholarships to Ivy League schools. In fact, several were on the world champion field team that upset the U.S. Anyway, my question during the Indy game this week, there was a questionable catch, and the officials went out of their way to review the play and point that out so that there were no questions. The ref actually said as much live. It was almost like a reaction to the non-call on the 4th-and-2 play the week before, which is, to me, an issue. Why was the play not reviewed on the idea that it was a close call? Yet that is done the next week. The argument was that The argument was that two timeouts, so we could not challenge. We were out of timeouts, I think he meant, so we could not challenge. The officials should have reviewed the play on principle.
They can't.
So what if a few seconds before the two-minute warning, it was a game-changing play?
They can't. That's illegal.
Yeah, they can't do that.
There are rules in place.
Yeah.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
If that play had taken place in the last 2 minutes, it
absolutely,
would, absolutely have been reviewed.
Would have reviewed.
Now, I don't think it would have been overturned.
Nope.
I don't either.
I agree with Mike Pereira for once, and I never agree with Mike Pereira on anything.
Well, this had to be against the Patriots.
No. If they ruled that a catch, I would have agreed the same way.
I know. You couldn't overturn
that. I don't think that was close. I don't think that was conclusive enough to overturn. That's
I agree. I agree.
Then we had an official this week who didn't speak English.
Oh, God.
Hang on. Couldn't understand a word he said.
Bill in a little bit of a challenge slump, Freddie.
Yeah.
He's lost four for five. He's lost four in a row.
Yeah.
I believe he won his first one.
He's 1 for 5.
And it's 1 20%,
one of the lower percentages in the league. All his disciples, by the way, stink at it, too. McDaniels, Mangini, they're all down below 20%.
You see,
it's Pioli's team, although he doesn't get to challenge. But
Mangini called timeout before the last play, which allowed Detroit to put Stafford back in. Did you see that?
Oh, is that right?
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Mangini also accused the Lions of maybe faking injuries in order to slow down the game. And Schwartzy
fired back.
Yeah, said that he's way off base and know what he's talking about. So, yeah, Mangini.
Just end it now. Tough. Walk away. Pull a Petrino.
Yeah.
I think that if you want to be the best, you have to be the best.
At some point, do you ever feel sorry for him?
I don't know if this is appropriate on-air material, but you know those LinkedIn accounts?
We'll say it anyway. What? Yeah.
I got an invitation from somebody to join LinkedIn.
Don't do it.
Okay. Oh. No, I'm on LinkedIn. It's from a certain person who used to work here and with the Browns until she was asked to leave the Browns recently.
Oh, really?
I was thinking of doing it just to say, like, hey, what happened in Cleveland?
I have a couple of invitations for that LinkedIn, too, but I don't have it. You shouldn't do that? I'm not on LinkedIn.
Just, you know, you have to go in and update
it. I haven't been in since
that.
The day I,
Jesus
like, started.
Christ. Puff. Pick up the effing phone if you want to be that attached to people.
Is that P-U-F-P-H?
No, just P-U-F-F. Pick up the blank phone.
I like when you make up your own crap.
Let's see. Larry wants to know how Brandon Tate's doing. He was wondering if he hurt his knee during the game.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. Sorry. He's on IR. He did injure his knee, I think, the Miami game. Early in the Miami game. Didn't play in the second half, was placed on IR.
Did we get
before the Colts game?
Indication, confirmation, dispute that it was the same knee or no?
No. Not confirmation, no. We all think that's
supposition?
What yeah.
Supposition?
Someone told us.
Speculation?
No, someone told us. Actually, Eric. Eric said he heard from somebody.
Jesus.
No, Eric said he had heard from somebody else.
I know. But
that it was the same knee and nothing.
He plays the operator game sometimes. The message
good.
Doesn't make it through him to me.
Would you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
Goes in one thing, comes out the other.
Orange fire water?
What the hell are you doing?
On Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, it goes in one thing on the left.
I tell you, though, Eric,
right.
Eric, really the star of Mondays. Really.
I think the question was fine. I just didn't get anywhere as,
follow-up
as much
was
as,
terrible.
As you did out of the answer.
No, but he struck a chord.
On the follow-up, he got Benditsoned.
You know?
Was that the situation with running back? No, but defensive back.
You want to eat my salad?
You think the longer Bill goes, the better that answer is. I'm just the opposite.
I'm not saying the answer in itself is, like, you know, earth-shattering in terms of information, but it tells you something about what Bill feels is important and what he wanted to talk about.
What he wanted to talk about, maybe.
But he also feels
I don't always think those two things you just linked together
that's why
are the same.
The shorter the answer to me, sometimes the better. Almost always the better.
Well, yeah, because then you don't have to work as much transcribing. But
well, I don't have to work as much transcribing. They do it for you.
By the way, is there a good voice to text program out there?
Dragon naturally speaks.
Does it work well?
None of them really work.
Why don't we use that then?
Because it doesn't work.
Because you'd have to train it for Belichick's voice.
Yeah. But they don't really work. Have you ever tried to read the EEI one? They do it for all their podcasts, their interviews with Belichick.
Right.
You can't do it. There was one I was going for. I wanted a specific quote, and it was something about the Russians were coming. And I was like, that's not what he said.
It must have been said that rushing.
It was rushing, yeah. But it was capital R.
I think if you do it, if you train it yourself, I think it works pretty, from what I hear, pretty well. Now, I have it and haven't done it yet.
You have it?
Yeah.
Where?
It's at home.
Why don't you bring it in?
Okay.
You know? You could do notes.
Do notes.
Well, like, for example, if you're doing a story, you could talk, and you don't even have to type.
Yeah, but why would I want to do that?
So you don't have to type.
Why would I want to do that, though? Why would I want to talk into my computer instead of just write?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be easier?
If there's a way it could be used for transcribing, then I think it's
but
a home run.
I mean,
otherwise, typing, I'm not a good...
I don't think it can be used for transcribing because it's different voice every time. It's like...
Right. I think
are
the
we
going to
train it to all 53 players and
the thing that I'm thinking about is when I transcribe, let's say I have my recorder and I'm transcribing something, I can listen to it and then repeat what the guy says, and theoretically it would type out from my voice. I think that could work.
I don't know. There has to be a use in our profession. You know?
I'm not so sure.
No? Larry says that Fred's an a-hole.
I agree.
I meant, was it the same knee? Not... And we don't know for sure.
We do not know.
So.
But we think yes.
Yep. Today on Patriots.com, we had some phone conferences. We have Bill Belichick's phone conference. That should be up by now, I think, on Patriots.com.
Right.
We also have Nick Caserio and Dean Pease.
Yep.
Are those phone conferences or those?
Phone.
Phone conferences. So those three things should be up, if not now, soon.
Well,
on Patriots.com, so you can check
that
out. Tomorrow will be a big day because all the media will have to get everything before Thanksgiving because most of them probably won't be coming in on Friday. Although
that's a good point.
You know,
we'll be here.
We'll be here, and Saturday is availability as well.
Won't be here then.
You know, who's covering that?
Eric. Not so sure about that. No, I think Eric.
Well, it'll be another day for him to shine.
Absolutely.
He can wear a sweater, a nice casual Saturday sweater.
Really, though, the sweat. I think he's doing it to get at me now with the sweaters.
I think he likes sweaters.
Because he's very thin.
I made a sweater. I wore a sweater on Sunday, and you didn't make fun of me.
Because sometimes thin people are always cold. So maybe he no seriously.
Well, he does layer. If you ever notice, sometimes he has like 8 shirts on. Yeah, a jacket, a sweater.
I think he does that because
shirt.
He's so small and he wants to look bigger. What? Don't tell me you weren't thinking it.
It's possible.
How come you didn't make fun of me? I wore a sweater on Sunday.
Oh, but you don't do it every day.
Every effing day. I can't believe how much this really bothers you.
I can't either.
Maury, and I didn't really know it until you said every effing day.
Maury had one of those zip-up sweaters that the guy collecting
Ralph
the tokens
Cramden.
That the MBTA yeah. wears.
Queer as a $3
like
bill.
Ralph Cramden.
Yeah.
Hamana.
You should go into his shoes, though. The emailer was right. He's got, like, some gay shoes and
Who?
Stuff that you'd make fun of.
Hey,
Who
rookie.
Does? Eric.
Eric does?
Oh, yeah.
They can't be any worse than the shoes you wear.
He has broken.
I don't know where
Mountain
you get
boots
those shoes.
For free.
They're like European, quote unquote.
I think they might
shoes
be.
You wear.
It's like that bag that Seinfeld had.
Right.
It's I European.
My brother-in-law works in shoes.
He works in shoes?
So all the samples
I work in
and
shoes,
stuff?
Too. I wear shoes
latex?
Every day. Hey, John Rook is here.
Fred!
How you
are
doing,
save
John?
Us, John.
Beautiful.
How was your
What's
day?
The matter?
Fred's terrible.
You struggling today?
Nope.
Just Fred.
Oh, we were fine up until the last 5 minutes.
How was your day on Sunday,
care
John?
Less about the team struggling.
Struggling.
That's
struggling.
Another Patriots.
Struggling.
You even had Julian Edelman
fine.
Doing it for yeah. you after his
yeah,
first
I know.
Down.
It was good. It was,
were you in
nice
sync?
Little, did
nice
you
little effort there.
I know. So.
We're trying to figure out what's going on in the third quarter with the Patriots offense.
Seems to be the big question.
Yeah.
They just, I think they lose, I don't know if they lose focus. I don't know if it's a combination of, we were talking about this, in fact, in our booth on Sunday as well. I wonder if it could be a combination of not only, you know, losing the focus, but some of the younger players. I mean, let's realize this team is a little bit younger. There isn't quite as much veteran leadership, you know, out on the field or in the locker room, and therefore there aren't as many guys, you know, working up on the sidelines saying, hey, guys, you know, this one's not over. Let's bear down here. I think that's a byproduct of a team that has become less mature, let's say, than in previous
yeah,
years.
That's a good
But on
yeah,
offense.
Lack of leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lack of
I don't, think there's, demonstrative leadership at all
right,
on this team.
Right.
There might still be some quiet leadership, but demonstrative leadership, kind of like the yeah. Teddy Bruschi stuff?
Right.
Uh-uh.
Well, that's your
Rodney
problem right now. I think Mayo is clearly that's not his
no,
MO
it's not his deal.
To be the,
no.
the loud guy. Merriweather is probably a leader in the back end. I don't think he's necessarily – he's playful, but
he
I don't know if he's
that,
serious leader.
He can be that guy, but he just hasn't really assumed the mantle.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is just going to take a little bit more time.
And even
him.
Wilfork, I don't think, is an outspoken
– No, he's not. Well, I mean, talk to him in the locker room, you know.
He's
I mean,
a nice
he's,
guy.
He's a
I think he would
guy.
Say what he thinks needs to be said.
Probably.
But I'm not sure that he has the same Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison shtick.
Yeah, and even so, in the last couple of years, Mike Vrabel, too, I think,
Vrabel,
was a part of that.
Yeah, I think all those guys
that's a very interesting point.
Had the ability
Absolutely.
To talk and knew when to and all that.
They knew when to.
Now,
you know,
these
yeah.
guys might grow into it, too.
That's certainly
all those guys
the case.
Were old.
Certainly the case. I just think it's, you know, I think that has something to do with it. I don't say it has everything to do with it. I mean, you still have to put some of the blame, you know, at the feet of the players, you know, executing. I mean, you got to execute.
Yeah, they haven't played as well.
They just,
they
no.
Might off, they might be feeling pretty good about that themselves was, going into the half. In some of these
exactly.
games where it looks like, you know, 24-7, you know, a 10-point lead at Indy. I don't remember exactly what the score was.
Right.
They might be feeling a little bit better about what they accomplished than they had in the past.
I think as we used to say, you know, back home in Texas, we used to say, you're getting a little fat and sassy.
Fat
yeah.
sassy.
Yeah.
Now, John, you happy that the Miami game is now a 1 o'clock game?
Very.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. It's awesome. It's 1 o'clock Sunday games are the best.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of night and late afternoon games. It's, you know, when you get moved to prime time, big
right.
deal. Give me
1 o'clock for our games. 8:30 is for us sitting back in our boxers
yes.
watching the other team.
Yes, absolutely.
Fred can do nothing about keeping his pants on today.
Has it been one of those days, Fred? He's already loosening the buckle for Thursday. Is that,
you got that right?
Primetime games. Your boy running the option last night very nicely.
How about that?
I like watching that.
You know what? It's a pleasant change. I don't think you're going to be able to live by it. You
well,
certainly
I
can die by
I think
it.
Jeff Fisher's trying to get him hurt.
I think Jeff Fisher never wanted to bring him back, and I was going to run the option until he breaks Vince Young and gets to put Kerry Collins back in.
Well, he also
Kerry
was helped
Collins
by having
the team.
Yeah, he was the captain at the coin toss last night.
What's making it work for Vince right now is Chris Johnson. I mean,
well,
let's face
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he's just is he not the best back in the NFL right now?
I don't know. If
with
he's
all due
the
respect
best,
to Adrian Peterson,
but he's playing the best right. He's on another planet right now.
More,
some of those moves last night where he does the little hop back step.
Yeah. Oh,
everything he does turns to gold right now.
Nasty.
Yeah, I mean. Peterson is great in his own right, obviously. He's got some things that Brown doesn't have. He's a little bigger, but Brown is so quick.
Who's Brown?
I mean,
Johnson. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I knew who you were talking about.
Brown Johnson can be big for you.
There's a Chris Brown.
Been a bit of, I mentioned this to you, I think, on Sunday, Andy. Been a bit of a comeback year now for
so many different levels.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say it's just been a bit of a comeback year for Texas Bank.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the press box. Your boy Jamal Charles went 97 on the kick return.
Cedric Benson
until he got hurt.
Right.
It's a big year.
Right. Ricky Williams and Miami now.
Shouldering
now,
the load
and now. Now VY. So, shoot, what the heck?
There it is right there. Boom, the pitch. Oh, pretty.
All right. Well,
you know what both Peterson and Johnson have in common right now?
Speed.
Well, but they can embarrass you. They can Barry Sanders you. Yeah. They can make you go on a
tell
highlight.
Tell me why, by the way, just watching that again, tell me why very quickly here, why you don't think that running the option in well-placed situations couldn't really have shelf life in the NFL.
Because you need those two guys. Most quarterbacks are not that fast.
If you have the personnel, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you can.
Because everybody says you can't run the option in the NFL because, number one, your quarterback's not durable enough.
Right.
And two, the obviously defense is too fast.
And the defenses are too fast.
I don't agree with that aspect.
I don't agree with that either. Because I think the quarterback can always adapt to the defense. You just have to have a quarterback that has an unbelievable ability to read
the
defense.
The second guy has to be able to do it, too.
Well, and again, the finances. The issue of... If it's Donovan McNabb, say, and you're paying him $100 million, you're trying to avoid getting him hit, not run him towards contact.
I don't disagree with that.
That's the problem.
I don't disagree with that. But I like to
see
it.
Which is why I get back to, I think they don't care about Vince Young anymore, and he's just use him.
There may be something to that, but I think they're trying to just win games right now, and they feel like that's Vince's best way to operate.
It is. And that's how he won a national championship. If they had to play these Titans again, I think the Patriots would be in a serious dogfight, because I think that play right there, Young and Johnson, could embarrass the edge defenders on this team right now.
No question.
Absolutely.
What a great run right there.
That Chris Johnson run at the end of the first half was one of the best runs I've ever seen.
He's tremendous.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's on another planet
right
now.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. Send your emails to John Rook. He'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Around 3 o'clock, Russell Baxter will be on.
That is correct, since we're not going to be around tomorrow for the Thanksgiving holiday. So this is it. We're cramming in not only Nitpick Tuesday today, but also previewing the Saints next Monday.
Right.
So we're all doing it in one.
It's a big show.
Oh, yeah, Nitpick Tuesday.
Stay tuned. It's for us. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. See you then.